Stadium in Cleveland, Gillette presents the fourth game of the World Series between the New York Giants and Cleveland Indians. Good afternoon, baseball fans. This is Al Helfer speaking for the Gillette Safety Razor Company. Gillette is on the air the year-round with America's leading sports events for your entertainment. These include the Friday night boxing matches and such classics as the Rose Bowl game and Kentucky Derby. It's our way of thanking you folks who use Gillette products for your patronage. Now we switch to the clubhouse where Frankie Frisch, the Fordham Flash, is standing by with Bobby Avila and Hank Thompson to discuss highlights of yesterday's game and perhaps hazard a guess or two about today. Come in, Frankie Frisch.
Come in, Frankie Frisch.
Good afternoon, fans. Well, our guest this afternoon is Henry Thompson. And, folks, I'd like to brag about this fellow a little bit before I ask him a question. Henry, you don't mind. I want to talk a little bit about you. Here's a fellow we haven't heard too much about, but he's been doing a tremendous job, an outstanding job. He's got two of his rooters here, Paul LaPorte and Arthur Suskin. They are really two great rooters of yours. But here's a fella has done a tremendous job defensively, and he's been hitting the ball in the clutch. And the outstanding thing is the base running job he did the day before yesterday. Remember, Henry, when you were on first base?
Yeah.
And Dusty Rhodes hit the ball to left center field, a little blooper?
Yes.
That play was right in front of you, wasn't it?
Yes, I could see that Larry couldn't have caught the ball.
You could see, and you kept right on going.
Yes.
That was a fine piece of base running, and it had a great deal to do with the Giants winning that ball game. You went to third, and Dusty Rhodes followed you right to second, right?
That's right.
Henry, how's this thing going to come out now?
Well, Frank, I hope we can win today and get on back to New York City.
What about that Cleveland pitching? You've been hitting them pretty good, haven't you?
Well, I've hit them too good. They got good pitching.
I know they got good pitching, but you're leading the club in scoring, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked up
the records. I know you're not looking up the records, but I know you are. Henry, where did you start playing ball?
Well, I started down in Dallas, Frankie. I used to work at the ballpark there and kept playing around and shagging balls and so on and so forth.
Did you work around the ballpark in a parking lot or anything?
No, at the ballpark.
Oh, at the ballpark. Yeah.
I helped a good friend of mine named John Hofstad. I hope he's looking at it.
Fine, Henry. And, now look, I got this, how much you weigh?
170 right now.
170. How tall?
5'8".
5'8". Little guys can play ball, too. How well I can recall being back with the St. Louis Cardinals. Bill Shardell. Yeah, guy could pitch a slow ball. Change of pace. Arthur Neff, another great World Series pitcher. Arthur's living in Phoenix now, a terrific guy. And Harvey Haddix, Bobby Shands, and a number of other guys. And also Dick Rudolph. And they've done a fine job. Henry, what are you going to do after the season's over? What are you going to do with your World Series money?
Well, my wife, she got that all planned up. She'll take care of that, Frankie.
I mean, you're going to get a little bit of it, aren't you?
Well, every now and then I will.
Henry, it's well to have you on our program. But first, I'd like to present you with this new Gillette one-piece razor set and the 1954 World Series record book. And fans, look for this Gillette display at your favorite store. And, Terry, you take that, please. But this Gillette World Series record book is a dandy. You're going to find this big little book filled with baseball facts with diagrams of all the major league ballparks. And it's got 112 pages of real dope on World Series history. But there's a picture in here, and it's a picture of the 1953 Yankees, the World Series Yankees. It's a terrific picture. And, Henry, nice to see you.
Thank you.
And have a good winter, boy, and keep bearing down.
Thank you very much.
All right, see you later. Now, fans, we have another treat here. We have a fellow that's done a tremendous job all year long at second base for the Cleveland Indians. Bobby Avila. Do I pronounce that right?
Yeah, this is right from the system of my name, Frankie.
Let me have that again, please. Bobby
Avila.
Avila. Avila. Well, I got it down then, didn't I?
Yeah, you're right.
Bob, what do you think these fellas are going to do today?
Well, we're going to try to win today and then play the next three games.
Going to win today and then take the next three.
That's right.
Who's going to pitch for you today?
Lemon.
He's a good pitcher. Your pitching hasn't been too bad. Outside of yesterday, it was a little shaky.
Well, the truth that I think the pitching being wonderful. Yes, we don't call any runs for them.
Pitching seems to dominate in all World Series. What do you think about the Giant pitchers?
Well, they've been pitching a good ball. They think we don't score too many runs off them. I don't know if it is the pitcher or maybe it is us. We don't hit nothing.
Well, you haven't been, there's no secret about that, Bob. You fellas haven't been hitting in the clutch, isn't that right?
That's right.
And I think the Giants, I don't mean to say this because some people might say that your Flash likes to see a good ball game. You know, I'm not, I'm crazy about who's going to win this thing, but I'd like to see a good, real hot ball game. Like, all three have been good ball games.
Pretty good.
But the Giants have been running those bases pretty good, Bob.
Well, that's the reason is because they get on base. We don't get on base. How are we going to run the bases?
Now, wait a minute. You've had some men on bases, but you haven't been getting that key hit. You haven't been really getting the hit that means something.
That's right. We don't hit it in the clutch so far in this
series. How about the umpiring in this series?
Well, I say it's been pretty good, Frank. Can't tell, because in three or four games, anybody can make a mistake and call a bad ball like anybody. They are human beings.
That's right. And I think the umpiring's been outstanding in this series. I think they've been doing a fine job. Tell me something about a fellow that used to play for me that I thought was a grand guy and still is a great guy to me, your manager, Al Lopez.
Well, he's a really nice fellow, and I used to say he's one of the best managers in the business right now.
You like to play for Al, huh?
Yeah, I wish I could play for a long time for him.
Well, you will. How old are you now?
28, Frank.
28? You'll be playing until you... Old second baseman, they just keep going.
I wish I could play as many years you play, Frank.
Wait a minute. You play. The old Flash is the second soccer. It's an interesting place to play, isn't it?
I love to play second base.
Yes, sir. And stay at that second. Of course, when you get a little older, you can always shift over to the old man's home, you know, third base.
Third base.
That's not a bad spot. All you got to do over third base, you know, look in the glove, it might be there. That's not a bad place. But that Thompson has been playing great ball, hasn't he?
Well, certainly he's been catching a few balls that he put it hard to third base.
He took a few off you, didn't he?
That's right.
Say, Bobby Avila, here's a Gillette. Oh, now you're going to enjoy that. I know you will. And the record book is a dandy. And, of course, you know, it's a one-piece razor, and a 1950 World Series record book goes with it. Fans, you can get your copy at your favorite store. Bob Avila, lots of luck to you, young man, and I hope you have many years in big league ball.
Thank you, Frank.
That's all we have time for now, folks. If this proves to be the final game, I'll be on the air after it's over with some of the stars of the winning team. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow with more pregame interviews. And now, we switch to the Gillette Broadcasting Booth.
And here, Cleveland, everybody, the weatherman has been specifically kind because we have a blue cloudless sky overhead, very little breeze blowing, and bright sunshine. And the broadcast this afternoon is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. And any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. And the broadcasting of today's game, the fourth of the 1954 World Series, marks not only the 16th year in which these games have been aired over this network, but today the Mutual Broadcasting System is proud to be presenting itself on its 20th birthday. So, it's sort of a joyous occasion, and we expect same here at Cleveland. The starting lineups for this afternoon's ball game, the fourth in the series, three of them have been won by the New York Giants. And for the visiting New York Giants, Whitey Lockman will lead off at first base. Hitting second will be Alvin Dark at shortstop. The right fielder is Don Mueller. Hitting number four is the center fielder, Willie May. Hank Thompson will be the third baseman, batting in the number five position. Hitting sixth is Marty Irvin in left field. Davey Williams, the second baseman. And the catcher is Wes Westrum. The pitcher here this afternoon is Mount Carmel, Illinois' little left-hander, Don Little. And we'll give you the Cleveland lineup just as soon as all stand to attention for the playing and singing of our national anthem. movie star Jeff Chandler has sung our national anthem for us, we can give you the starting lineups for the Cleveland Indians. Al Smith will be in left field leading off. Hitting number two is Bobby Avila at second base. Hitting the number three position will be Larry Doby in center field. Al Rosen returns to third base this afternoon for the Indians. He'll bat in the number four position. Then comes Victor Wirtz at first base. Vic Wirtz at first base. In right field is Wally Westlake. Sam Dente gets the call at shortstop this afternoon for Al Lopez Tribe. Jim Hagan, the catcher, and the pitcher is Bob Lemon. Coming back after having lost the first ball game in the series, it is he called upon this afternoon to see what he can do about stopping the onrushing New York Giants. Lemon has pitched 9 3rd innings in this year's World Series, losing the ball game. He's a 23-game winner from Long Beach, California. The umpire-in-chief behind the plate this afternoon from the American League is Johnny Stevens. Al Barlick of the National League at first, Charlie Berry of the American League at second, Jocko Conlon of the National League at third, and it's going to be Nathan Warnke on the baseline. And now, before we turn the microphone over to our very good friend Jimmy Dudley for the first portion of the ball game, let's pause here 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
And so this afternoon, it's a battle between the veteran Bob Lemon, a 23-game winner this year for Cleveland, and Little Don Little, the low-pitching left-hander for the New York Giants. He's known for his low-breaking stuff. Well, let's see how the two are going to fare here this afternoon. And stepping up to the microphone is Jimmy Dudley. And Jimmy, this, I guess we'll have to say, is the do-or-die game as far as...
Right, really right, Al, and thank you very much. And hello again, baseball fans everywhere. Yes, sir, as Al stated, this is a do-or-die day for the Cleveland Indians, trailing 3-0. Al Lopez is sending his ace right-hander, Bob Lemon, to the mound. He started the first game of the World Series at the Polo Grounds just a couple of days ago. It seems like an awful long time ago, I'm quite sure, to a lot of Indian fans all over the world. But then, this is baseball, and a lot can happen. Even when you're trailing 3-0, Whitey Lockman steps into the batter's box, batting 154, left-hand batter. The first pitch of the ball game is a strike to the outside corner waist high. Strike one called, Whitey Lockman, number 25. Only 28 years old. He's still one of the veterans of the Giant team. Here's the windup. Lemon's next pitch is fouled back into the stands, off to the left. And the count is strike two. 0-2 the count on the batter. Lemon turned in a fine performance in the first game of the World Series at the Polo Grounds on Wednesday afternoon. But as we all know, lost on a home run to Dusty Rhodes, who has been, without a doubt, the hitting star of the 54 World Series. Lemon checks his sign. Works into the windup. The 0-2 pitch. Lockman takes ball one low into the dirt. Ball one and strike two. Whitey Lockman joined the New York Giants back in 1945. An 18-year-old ball player out of North Carolina. But he's found the Polo Grounds and the rest of the Major League parks to his liking. Ball one and strike two, the count on him. Whitey stands deep in the batter's box. Here's the pitch. Strike three called on a fastball to the looking side corner. He struck him out. Bob Lemon starting off today's game with a strikeout. And, of course, in baseball tradition and superstition, that is the good sign for the pitcher. The opposite, of course, is walking the first man. They say he'll always come home to roost on you. Here's Captain Alvin Dark, number 19, the Giants shortstop, batting 333 in the series. Takes ball one outside. Curveball breaking down and away. Dark has 4 hits in the series thus far for a 333 average. Lockman, the leadoff man, had 2 so far. One out and nobody on. Lemon's next pitch. Dark swings and hits a high fly ball into short right center. Bobby Avila goes back, but Wally Westlake is in, calls him off and makes the catch. Alvin Dark flies to Wally Westlake, the right fielder, coming in fast to a short right field position. You know, there have been only 4 home runs in this series, 2 for each team. There was a World Series that didn't produce a single home run, though it had as its hero the greatest circuit crowder of them all, Babe Ruth. I find in the Gillette World Series record book that was back in 1918 when the Babe pitched and won two games for the Red Sox. And now up is Don Mueller. He swings on the first pitch, hits a fly ball out into left center, dropping in there for a base hit. Harry Dovey made a run for it but couldn't get to it. So there is the first hit of the ball game as Mueller slaps a top fly single into left center. That's Mueller's fifth World Series hit for this year. And it brings up Willie Mays. There's not more that you can say, much more that you can say about this boy that hasn't already been said or written. In the thousands of articles that have acclaimed him one of baseball's most exciting ball players. Right-hand batter. Mays had three hits in yesterday's game. Swings on the first pitch and pops it up. Foul down the first baseline. Vic Wirtz moves into foul territory. He has it and the side is retired. Mays foul to Vic Wirtz. And for the Giants in the first inning, no runs, one hit. One man left. And going into the last half of the first inning, the score is New York nothing, Cleveland nothing. You know, fans, to be right in all the thrills that make the series the biggest thing in sport, you need the new Gillette World Series record book. You don't have to be a red-hot fan to get a big boot out of this handy reference book. It's indexed so you can put your finger right on what you want to know. It's pocket-sized and crammed full of scores of past series games. It contains the record of every player, all the basic rules and scoring tips, modern record-breaking performances, this year's player rosters, and a lot of baseball information you won't find in any other book. With it, you get more fun out of the World Series and the Hot Stove League coming up this winter. And as far as that's concerned, next year's games, too. Why don't you get this book? Remember, it's free. It comes attached to the Gillette Super Speed Razor Set you buy for just $1. You better pick up a copy tonight, though, because that supply is going mighty fast. And now going into the last half of the first inning, the Indians coming to bat. And for the Indians, this is the big save. I noticed that Al Lopez is sending Mike Garcia, early win, his entire pitching staff to the bullpen. He'll have them ready for duty on a minute's notice. Leo DeRocher's in a spot to do the same thing. Stepping into the batter's box to lead off for the Indians is Al Smith, left fielder, batting .273 in the World Series thus far. Has three hits. Fuzzy, his teammates call him. Fuzzy Top. Little's first pitch to him is ball one inside and low. Little Don Little, the giant left-hander, noted for his pinpoint control. He's a curveball artist. 1-9, lost 4 during the regular season. Last half of the first. The next pitch is ball 2, over but low. Umpire Stevens right on the ball, all the way down into the catcher's glove. This has been a series kept well in hand by the umpires. Little okays the sign. The 2-0 pitch is a strike of beauty right down the middle. The count moves to ball 2 and strike 1. American League umpire Johnny Stevens working back of the plate on the balls and strikes. Barlick at first base. Berry at second. Conlon at third. Knapp on the left field foul line. Ron Warnke on the right. The 2-1 pitch. Ball 3 high and outside as a fastball took off. Sailed out of the strike zone. The count is ball 3 and strike 1. The fourth game of the 1954 World Series coming your way from Cleveland's big municipal stadium before better than 70,000 people. Here's the windup. The 3-1 pitch is a strike to the inside corner and the swing is out. Full count of 3-2. The crowd always sympathizes with the batter, of course, on that pitch when he starts toward first. But the yell of the umpire of strike 2 calls him back. Full count. Little working carefully. Into the windup. The next pitch is swung on and a fly ball is hit just back in second base. Into short center. second baseman Davy Williams back. Under it, he has it for out number one. One away. That brings up number one, Bobby Avila, the Indian second baseman. Well, Willie Mays was hitless up until yesterday's game. He got three. And his World Series average of 54 is now 300. Bobby Avila, American League batting champion, has only two hits in the three games played thus far. Average of 182. Right-hand batter. Little fella from Veracruz, Mexico. One out. Nobody on. He takes a strike. Waist-high pitch. In less than 10 days from the time the World Series is concluded, Avila will be in Mexico City playing baseball in the Winter League. The next pitch to him, he swings and he misses. Strike two. And Little crossed him up. He was looking for that famous little curve, but he got a fastball up around the shoulders and went for it. The count is strike two. The giant outfield, Irvin in left, Mays in center, Mueller in right. They're shaded toward left for this right-hand batter. One to the count. Here's the windup. The next pitch is ball one high and inside. One and two count. Now, umpire Stevens wants to take a look at that ball. Avila won the American League batting championship with an average of 341, but he packs a lot of power. Also hit 15 home runs during the regular season. Ball one, strike two the count. One out and nobody on, no score in the last half of the first inning. Here's the windup. The next pitch is going on. A line drive is hit to the second baseman, Davy Williams, for out number two. Avila, line to Williams. That brings up number 14, Larry Doby, the Indian center fielder. Doby has only two hits in the World Series. First three games. His batting average is 167. Two out and nobody on. Left-hand batter. First pitch is ball one high and inside, a fastball. Doby hit the dirt. Get out of the way of it. Little is not noted for his speed. Depends on his curveball artistry and excellent control. Two out and nobody on in the last half of the first inning. The next pitch, ball two inside. Ball two, no strikes. After watching Johnny Antonelli work the other day, especially pitching to Doby and work, we have a suspicion that Leo DeRocha has told Little, stay away from the curveball when you pitch to these two boys. Wirtz and Doby, two left-hand batters. The next pitch is a strike to the outside corner. Ball two and strike one. Coaching at third base for the Indians, number 44, Tony Cuccinello. At first base, the coacher is Red Kress, number 42. Two outs for the Indians in the last half of the first inning. The count to the batter, ball two and strike one. Next pitch, he swings and he misses. Strike two. On deck is Al Rosen, the Indians' third baseman, back in the lineup. A beautiful day for baseball here in Cleveland. Skies are clear. Turn to count. Here's the windup. The next pitch, a swing and a miss. He struck him out on a curveball. Doby goes down swinging. And there is the first strikeout for Little. And that is the fourth time that Doby has struck out in the World Series. For the Indians, no runs, no hits, nothing across. And at the end of the first inning, the score, New York Giants, nothing. The Cleveland Indians, nothing. You know, the New York Giants won the National League flag, but Walt Alston, the freshman manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, certainly gave the Giants a battle for first place. And you should see Walt's beard. It's a mean one. But he says, shaving isn't hard at all, and it's always refreshing with the one-piece Gillette razor. Walt Alston is mighty particular about the way he looks. Like everyone else, he wants quick, comfortable shave. Why don't you try this convenient, easy shaving razor? It'll give you a slick-looking shave that'll last and last. Well, the first inning completed. No score for either team. One hit. Thus far, that by Don Mueller. Coming up in the first half of the second inning for the Giants is number 16, Hank Thompson. He's batting .333 in the series with three hits. Mr. Henry, as the ball players themselves call him. He was the fellow that worked in 43 double plays back in 1950, equaling a record set by the famous Ty Trainer. That record had stood for some 25 years. Henry Thompson, left-hand batter. Lemon, into the windup. The first pitch is ball one outside and low. In talking with many of the Indians this morning, they are disappointed that they are showing thus far against the Giants, but still in there to give it a battle all the way. Lemon pitches ball two inside with a curveball. Ball two and no strikes. The outfield pulled around toward right. Westlake deep in straightaway back to the edge of the track. Dobie well over in right center. Nothing to nothing ball game. The 2-0 pitch. Thompson takes. Coaching down at first base, number 6. That's Freddie Fitzsimmons. At third base, Herman Frank. The 2-1 pitch to Thompson is ball four of the 3-1 pitch. Excuse me. Ball four. Thompson takes a walk. And Thompson now has 5 bases on balls in the World Series. The next batter, number 20, Monty Irvin. Right-hand batter, left fielder, still looking for his first hit in the series. Takes a strike, a fastball right in there. Runner on first, Hank Thompson with nobody out. The walk to Thompson, the first of the game. Here's the stretch. The pitch is ball one, outside and low. A curveball that almost got away from catcher Jim Hegan. Monty Irvin, one of baseball's real steady ball players, day in and day out. He gives you that same fine performance. An all-star athlete from New Jersey, Orange High School. The 1-1 pitch is swung, and there's a line drive, a vicious hit into left center. Going for extra bases. Here's Thompson racing around second. He's coming to third, and Irvin goes for two. He's in there with a double. The Giants have runners on second and third with nobody out. Monty Irvin coming through with his first base hit of the season, the series. You always want to say season when you're thinking about the series. So that base on balls to Thompson has Lemon in trouble. As Irvin followed with a double, runners on second and third, with nobody out, and the batter is Davey Williams. The Indian infield now closes in. They'll try to cut this run off at the plate. Williams is hitless in the series, right-hand batter. Swings on the first pitch. A line drive is hit to Wirtz. Wirtz throws to Diddy, and the throw goes into left field. Diddy did not get back to second, and Thompson comes on to score. Irvin moves to third. There's an error charged to Vic Wirtz. Oh, that was a rough break for Bob Lemon. Williams line to Wirtz. Diddy could not get back to second in time to cover on Irvin. Wirtz attempted to throw anyway and threw badly into left field. So Thompson scores, and the Giants lead 1-0. One out, the batter is Wes Westrum. The infield is still in, one out.
Weston has three hits in the series for a 300 average. Lemon works into the windup. First pitch is swung, and there's a fly ball out into right field. Westlake moves in, 100 now. The runner tags up. There's the catch. Westlake drops the ball, and the runner comes on to score. And I believe Weston is going to be called safe at first on an error. Now Lopez comes out of the Indian dugout. Umpire Charlie Berry, back at second base, motion safe on the ball hit by Westrum. In other words, he is stating that Westlake did not have complete control of the ball. He got the ball in his glove all right, but in shifting from the gloved hand to the throwing hand, he let the ball drop to the ground. And that is an error on Wally Westlake, the right fielder. The Indians' second error in this inning. The Giants lead by a score of 2-0. Weston is on first as a result of the error. Actually, it turns out to be a rough break on Weston as far as getting credit for a run batted in is concerned. The error takes away the RBI. Unless the official score would want to make a ruling in that particular case. An error takes away the RBI. We'll check with the official score now to see whether Weston is given a sacrifice fly. Well, the score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing. First half of the second inning, only one out. Weston is on first base. That is a ruling based on umpire's judgment. You must have complete control of a ball, even though you just catch it. It's like a plain old can of corn in any ball game. In shifting from the gloved hand to the throwing hand, you must control it at all times and get that throw away. The batter is Don Little, the pitcher. Weston on first, two runs are home. Now the outfield. Moving around toward left. Two very costly errors have allowed two Giant runs to score. Weston takes the lead off first. Little is a left-hander all the way. Left-hand batter crutched over the plate. First pitch to him. He tries the bunt and fouls it off to the left of the plate out of play. Strike one. Batter on deck is Whitey Lockman. Strike one to count. Rosen, the third baseman for the Indians, moves in right near the infield glass in case of a bunt try. Here's the stretch. The next pitch is strike two called. Little had the bat out there for the bunt, but pulled it back. Takes strike two. 0-2 to count. Where's the cap very jauntily on his head. Reminds you a little bit of the Yankees' famous Whitey Ford. Strike two count. Weston ready to travel from first. One out. The pitch is ball one high and inside. Ball one and strike two. The score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing. Left out of the infield in close. The next pitch is ball two, over but low, and the count is even, 2-2. Little steps out, now looks down to his coach at third base, Herman Frank. Lemon juggles the ball in the glove. Wirtz is holding against the runner, Weston at first base. 2-2 count. Fourth game of the 54 World Series. The Giants lead 2-0 in the series. The next pitch, ball three outside. Full count of 3-2 on the batter. Had two strikes on him. Now Little has worked it to the full count. Let's watch Weston at first base. He may be moving, but with caution, the count 3-2 and the pitcher up. One out. The next pitch is strike three called right in there, and he struck him out. Little is called out on strike. Westrum holding at first base, very wisely so, against that very thing. That's the second strikeout for Lemon, both on a call, third strike. That brings up number 25, Whitey Lockman. Lockman, a left-hand batter, was called out on strikes in the first inning. The Giants lead 2-0. Lemon's first pitch to Lockman is ball one outside and low. The outfield now playing straightaway. Fine bleacher crowd today with the sun out, nice and warm, and a lot of folks in the area back of the fence, between the bleachers and the fence. Lemon checks the runner. The pitch is a strike knee-high to the outside corner. Ball one and strike one to count. Bob Lemon, the Indian base right-hander from Long Beach, California. Here's the stretch. The pitch is inside and low. Ball two, two and one to count. On deck is the ever dangerous Alvin Dobbs. Pepper in the Indian infield, Al Rosen, Sam Denny, Bobby Avila starting in for the pitcher. A walk and a double. Got Lemon in trouble. Two errors didn't help. The next pitch. Ball three, over but low, and the count is 3-1. Ball three, strike one. Wes Westrum is the runner at first. Now Wes moves away from the bag. The 3-1 pitch, the runner's on the go, swing and a miss, a throw to second. Then he takes it and traps it on the runner. He's out. The hit and run was on, and Westrum is out. At second base, he's in to Denty, 2-6. So Lockman will get another chance in the third inning. In the second, now for New York, mark up two runs. They had one hit with one walk, two Indian errors, very costly, and nobody left. Going into the last half of the second inning, the score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing.
Look sharp, feel sharp.
We spent a final effort, sir, to make sure your Gillette aligns the blade exactly right. So fast, slick shave you get. It's mighty sturdy, made to last. But if you drop it, brother, and spoil the blade alignment, then it's time to get another tool.
Every time you say to feel sharp, on the ball indeed, just be sharp. Trim your whiskers off with the modern Gillette Super Speed.
Buy one now, folks, and get with it free the handy Best Pocket Gillette World Series record book. We're heading into the last half of the second inning. A nice big hand for Al Rosen as he steps up. He's leading off for the Indians. Right-hand batter. Was out of yesterday's game with that bad leg. Here's the windup in the first pitch. To him is a strike call. Inside corner, way side. Rosen has two hits in the series. The first two games he did not play in number three. Batting average 250. The Giants lead in this game by a score of 2-0. They lead in the World Series 3-0, and a victory for them today would close the book on this year's Classic. The Indians hope, of course, to prevent that. The next pitch, Rosen swings the ground ball over the pitcher's head, out of the second base, knocked down by Williams. Here's a throw to first, and in time on a beautiful play. Rosen is out. Fine play by Davey Williams, who had Rosen pegged perfectly, was playing him over close short second. One out. That brings up Vic Wirtz, number 23, Indian first baseman. He has a batting average of 500 for the season. In the series thus far, he has six hits. .500 batting average. 6 out of 12. Big left-hand batter. Swings on the first pitch and fouls it back into the upper deck out of play. Strike one. The outfielders are pulled around toward right for work. The Giants coming up with two runs in their half of the second inning. The lead 2-0. Little's next pitch. Ball one high and inside. 1-1 the count. That foul off the bat of Vic Woods back into the upper deck here. Hank Greenberg, the general manager of the Indians, tried for it. Have to charge him an error, I guess. The 1-1 pitch to work is ball two inside with a curve that failed him. Ball two and strike one. Right side of the infield, playing deep. Back to the edge of the outfield grass is David Williams, the second baseman. Deep along the line at first is Whitey Loughlin. The 2-1 pitch is ball three, over but high. Try to get him with a fastball. 3-1. Tom Little, wearing number 37. He's a picture pitcher. Fellow you like to watch. Very smooth delivery. Good follow through. Checks back to his outfielders now. Checking the position. To count 3-1. Wirtz may be gunning, and he knows it. One out and nobody on. Here's the windup. The pitch, and Wirtz attempts to pull away from it. Fouls it down the third baseline. And the count is 3-2. Ball was fielded by Tony Cuccinello. Thrown back into play. Wirtz failed to get the bat back. As he started his swing, checked it, but still fouled it off. The Indians still looking for their first hit. Little has retired the first four men in a row, striking out Dobie for his first strikeout of the game. 3-2 the count. On deck is Wally Westlake. The payoff pitch and works is, I believe the ball hit his bat, but it rolled foul. Yep, it hit the handle of his bat. Umpire Stevens, very alert on that play. Very much alert. Now Wirtz is saying to the umpire that the ball hit his fist. Umpire Stevens is probably not arguing against the fact that the ball hit him. What he is claiming, and from the crack of the ball on the bat, you have to say that Stevens made a great call on that. You can hear the ball hit the bat. And it's quite possible the ball hit was afterwards. It must hit you first. But there's the type of play that will give you some idea of how tough of a job the men in blue have. Lopez came out to see if Wirtz was all right. So did trainer Wally Box. Back in position. One out, nobody on. The 3-2 pitch. Wirtz swings and hits the fly ball out into short left field. Coming over fast with Monty Evans. He can't get it and dropped on the line. Foul. Just outside the White Sox mark. Umpire Larry Knapp, right out there on top of that play, as the ball hit. Foul by Inches. And Wirtz now must again come back to the plate. Well, the fans are getting a big thrill out of it. And that's baseball. We're in the last half of the second inning. The Giants lead by a score of 2-0. One out. Wirtz the batter with a count 3-2. An exciting time at bat, that's for sure. Now the fans calling for Wirtz to come through. Little checks his sign into the windup. The big pitch. Swung on the base, a line drive out into right right center for a long base hit. Going all the way to the fence. Wirtz makes the turn at first. He's going for two. The two outfielders run together. Wirtz comes in at second with a stand-up double. Is one of the greatest examples of the basis of all baseball. The never-ending battle between pitcher and batter. And Wirtz won with a long double into right center. The score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing. That's the seventh series hit for Vic Wirtz. There's two doubles, one triple, and one home run among his seven hits. He's on second with one out, and the batter's Wally Westlake. Westlake has one hit, played in one game. Swings on the first pitch at the ground ball to the shortstop. Big hop taken by Dark, the throw to first, and Westlake is out. Westlake grounding out, short to first, 6-3. That brings up number 36, Sam Genty. The shortstop in today's ball game. First game in the series that Denty has started. He has been in two of the games thus far as a utility player after Strickland was lifted for a pinch hitter. He's a right-hand batter, has no average. Takes ball one low into the dirt. Good stop by Wes Westrum, the giant catcher. Blocks the ball with his chest. Two out here in the last half of the second inning. The Giants lead by a score of 2-0. Wirtz is on second. He has the first Indian hit of the game. Outfielders are shallow. Little is ready. Takes back to the runner. The pitch to Denty. A strike to the outside corner. 1-1 the count. Right now, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, your exclusive World Series station, Chicago.
All set for the next pitch is strike two call. The curveball breaking over at the knees. The count now is ball one and strike two. Umpire Stevens to take the heat off, dusting off home plate. Denty. Slapping home plate with the heavy end of the bat. Flashes it around as he steps back in. Lad from New Jersey, fine utility ball player. Good glove man. Runner on second. The next pitch is fouled into the stands. Off to the right of the plate and the count remains. Ball one and strike two. With two outs. As the Indians come up with their first bit of excitement in the ball game, a runner on second, there are two outs, Denty the batter. The Giants, scoring two runs, lead by that score 2-0. On deck, hoping for a chance to come up, is Jim Hegan. Little checks to the runner. The pitch is low into the dirt and gets away from Weston. Rolls off to the left of the plate. Wirtz moves to third. Westrum recovers the ball, and it's a wild pitch. Charge to Don Little. Boy, the pitchers are really uncorking some wild throws in this game and in others of the 1954 World Series. Always gets you to thinking about records. But, of course, when you talk about records, just have your handy Gillette World Series record book with you, and you'll never be lost. Both Lemon and Wynn came up with wild pitches. The count is 2-2. Wirtz now is one base closer to home. Two outs. The 2-2 pitch. Then he swings and hits the fly ball into right center. William May is going back. Under, he pulls it down and makes the catch. Denty tried to Mays in center. The side is retired. Mays, evidently not realizing there were two outs, turned and quickly threw into the infield. For the Indians in the second, no runs, one hit. One man left. And at the end of two, the score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing. The fourth game of the 1954 World Series. And Al, from the way things have started here in these first two innings, we could have a little bit of excitement.
We certainly could, particularly with the New York Giants having the door open for them in the second inning by a pair of errors. After all, if it should be as tight from here on as it has been loose on the defense up until now, we could have a ball game that would cook along the next inning this afternoon, couldn't
we? You mean sort of one of those wild scoring jobs, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm looking for it, aren't you?
Well, there's nothing the fans like better than a wide-open ball game. And we certainly hope that you folks all around the world, the men at sea, for our men and women overseas, are enjoying our play-by-play over Mutual. And the rest of the stations all over the world bringing you the account of the 1954 World Series. First from the Polo Grounds in New York, now here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland on the shores of Lake Erie. In two innings, the Giants have two runs. They've made two hits. No errors. The Indians have no runs, one hit, and they have made two errors. And now the first of the third. Moving into the batter's box is number 25, Whitey Loughman. He was up when Westrum was out at second. The hit and run was called, but Loughman missed the pitch. Westrum was out easily. Hegan to Denton. So Lemon served in five pitches in the second inning. First and turn here in the third is ball one, too low. Ball on the count. Loughman was called out on strikes in the first inning. Here's the windup. The next pitch is one, and the line drive is hit. Foul down the left field line. Landing on the track, rolling into the Giant bullpen. Four umpires around the infield, two on the foul line. Larry Knapp astride the left field foul line. Way down the right field foul line is Ron Warnicke. Lemon is ready. The one and one pitch is fouled into the dirt. Rolls back to the screen. The count is ball one and strike two. One and two count. The Giants, of course, looking for that fourth victory that would wrap up the World Series for this year. Bob Lemon, Indian right-hander, versus Don Little, the Giant left-hander. Lemon okays the sign. The count is one and two. The pitch is swung on a ground ball to the right side of the infield. Wirtz moves over to cover. Throws to Lemon at first base, and Loughman is out. Loughman grounding out. First baseman to pitcher. 3-1. Wirtz to Lemon. Every manager would like to have a Bob Lemon on the mound in every ball game. Lemon is not only a pitcher. He is that fifth infielder. He knows how to come off the hill to cover it first. Cover either left or right on the bunt. For those with the batter's top into the dirt. Can get you into a lot of trouble if you can't field your position. First pitch to Doc. He swings and hits a line drive into left field. A base hit. Hanging the old clothesline out there with a sharp single. Doc has his fifth hit of the World Series. On first, with one out, and the batter is Don Mueller. Mueller dropped a single into left center in the first inning with two out. They call them pop fly singles, the bargain basement singles, but they all count just as big as the others. Mueller is a left-hand batter, one of the real pros of the game. Runner on first, Alvin Dahl. One out. First pitch to Mueller is ball one inside. Too close to the batter. Giant players, a lot of the writers around the league, call this boy Don Mueller, Mandrake the Magician. He's a magician with that bat most of the time. Runner up to Mays for the batting crown. swings on the next pitch and lines one into right field. A base hit. Doc makes the turn at second. He's going to third. Westlake's throw coming into the infield. He fumbled the ball just briefly, but Doc is in at third easily. Runners on first and third, and only one out. The score is New York 2, Cleveland nothing. So Mueller now has his second hit. A single this time into right. That is the fourth hit for the Giants. They really had their hitting clothes on in this series. Going into today's game, the Giants as a team were batting .232 as compared to the Indians' average of .196 for the three games of the World Series. Willie Mays, right-hand batter, is up. Takes ball one outside and low. Activity in the Indian bullpen. Number 16, Hal Newhouser, warming up. Westlake fumbled that ball just briefly in right field, but it had no bearing on the play. One out. Next pitch. Ball two. Outside. Another serve. Mays is refusing. And this is the different Mays. Spring training, the first part of the year, he was going for a lot of bad pitches, but no more. Ball to no strikes. Batter on deck is Henry Thompson. Now Lemon comes up with a stretch. The pitch was a strike, a curveball, broken there softly. Mays started for it, but changed his mind. Doc on third, and Mueller is on first. And only one out in the first half of the third inning. Outfielders are deep and around toward left for Willie Mays, number 24. The 2-1 pitch, he swings and bounces one over the third baseman's head, rolling down the line. A one-run scores. Here is Mueller racing around second, going for third. And Mays goes for two. In there, standing up with a double. A two-base hit, and the score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing. He bounced one off the plate and bounced it over the third baseman's head. Good for two bases. That's his fourth hit of the series. The third this inning for the Giants and the fifth of the game. With only one out here in the first of the third. Mueller on third, and Mays is on second. They're going to put Henry Thompson on, an intentional pass for the Giant third baseman, who walked his last time up. This will load the bases, and of course makes possible the force play at any base. Run batted in for Willie Mays. There's ball three. Monty Irvin is on deck. There's ball four to Thompson, and the bases are loaded. An intentional pass, and Irvin is going to do his own hitting here. The Giants lead 3-0. Irvin was looking back toward the dugout, and I have a suspicion that a lot of the fans were expecting to see Mr. Dusty Rhodes come out. But manager Leo DeRocha expressing confidence in his regular left fielder. Irvin got off to a fine start the first part of the season, but slumped a little bit. First pitch to him is ball one inside, a fastball. He doubled hard into left center the first time up. One out, the bases are loaded. Lemon works into the windup. The pitch, just swing and a miss for strike one. One and one to count. Outfield playing just about straight away. Dolby is pulled off center toward left. The shade. Right side of the infield. Midway in on the skin part of the infield. Hoping, of course, for the double play. Mueller on third. Mays on second. Thompson on first. The pitch is ball two outside. 2-1 to count. The Giants lead by a score of 3-0. Batter on deck is Davey Williams. Lemon tugging at his cap. Text on the sign. The count's 2-1. Here's the pitch. Fouled back into the stands. Off to the right of the plate, and the count is even up. Ball 2 and strike 2. Ray Narleski, right-hander. Rookie right-hander. Fastball artist. Starts warming up. Alongside Hal Newhouser, the veteran left-hander. They've seen a lot of service in World Series play as a member of the Detroit Tigers. Here's the windup. The runners move off. The 2-2 pitch. And it's fouled into the dirt. Rolls back of the plate. The bat goes out to the shortstop position. Bat slipped out of Irvin's hands. Went flying to the left side of the infield. So the count is still ball 2 and strike 2. Herman Frank approaching at third base, shouting down to Monty Irvin. New ball is tossed into play. Lemon in a tough spot, working very carefully. Mueller is on third, Mays on second, Thompson on first, with only one out. The count is ball 2 and strike 2. Ready on the sign. The windup and the 2-2 pitch. Fouled back to the stretch box. Fine catch by one of the television cameramen who has a glove, a baseball glove today. There's a fella that really came prepared. Ball 2 and strike 2. The next pitch is ball 3 inside. Lemon tried to get that inside corner. 3-2, it was mighty close. And the swing is out. Now Monty Irvin backs out of there. It's a tense moment in the ball game for the fans. And one for the batter. The base runners. One out, and they will be moving. Here's the windup. And the big pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Got him on a curveball. And that was the famed Lemon Slider. They're two gone. Third strikeout for Bob Lemon. And that one a mighty important one. Still a rough little customer. Davey Williams stepping in. The blonde kid from Texas, out of Dallas, right-hand batter. Takes ball 1, a curveball over but low. Williams lined to the first baseman, Vic Wirtz, his first time up. He's a very slick little fielder, this Davey Williams. $65,000 purchase from Atlanta. Swings on the next pitch. A ground ball is hit to Rosen. He takes it, races to the bag, ahead of Willie Mays for the out that retires the side. And Bob Lemon pulls out of it as Williams hits into a force play, forcing Mays at third, Rosen unassisted. And for the Giants in the third inning, one run on a total of 3 hits. They came in succession. There was 1 walk, no errors, and 3 men left on the bases. Going into the last half of the third inning, the score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing. Say, would you like to hear from one of the greatest ball hawks going? Well, here's right fielder Jimmy Pearsall of the Boston Red Sox, whose spectacular leaping catches really leaves them gasping. Say, what brings you to Cleveland, Jim?
I'm a reporter, Jimmy, covering a series for a Boston newspaper.
A reporter? Well, man, I've got news for you. You know, Boston is home base for Gillette. You can report Gillette razors are selling like crazy. And most of these fine-looking young guys playing out here today use them, too.
That's no news to me, Jimmy. Most big leaguers go for Gillette shaves. Fast, they're clean, and they sure give you a swell lift.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Say, how about giving that new Gillette Super Speed Razor a try, men? It's all in one piece for easy blade changing. It costs you only a dollar, and the Gillette World Series record book is attached free. Going into the last half of the third inning, it was a real pleasure visiting with Jim Pearsall.
that fine ball hawk from up there in Boston. That old Fenway Park was the scene of a lot of fine ball games this year. Jim Hegan leading off. The Indians now will try to get back in this ball game, trailing 3-0. Hegan, then the pitcher, and back to the top of the batting order. First pitch to Hegan, his ball went outside and low. The pitching performance by Lemon will give you some idea of why the experts call him one of the game's great competitors. There's ball two, inside. Ball two, no strikes on Jim Hegan. Little has struck out one man, given up only one hit, a double to Vic Wirtz. Has yet to walk a batter. The count, ball to no strikes. The outfield is around toward left. There's ball three, high and outside. Shade, the count is 3-0. A few more standees have come in since the game started. It'll be a bigger crowd than yesterday. It certainly gives you a great thrill to sit in with a big crowd watching a ball game. The players get a big boot out of it, too. They like to play before the big houses. Here's the windup. The 3-0 pitch is a strike. Got a high right in there. It's for sure this boy, Don Little, will not go too long without getting one in for a strike. 3-1 the count. Hegan takes ball four outside. A base on balls. First walk given up by Little, and Hegan becomes the second Indian base runner of the game. That brings up Bob Lemon. Henry Thompson, the Giant third baseman, came to talk with the pitcher, Don Little. Help him to settle down. Little, of course, knows he's facing a tough aggregation of ball players. The team that won 111 games to set a new American League record. Lemon, left-hand batter. Takes ball one outside with a curve. Lemon, through the years, has proved himself a pretty good hitting pitcher. The Giants lead 3-0. Hegan leads off. Nobody out. The pitch is a strike. Fastball, little high to the inside corner. He'll take a bit off his fastball occasionally. 1-1 the count. The batter on deck is Al Smith, the leadoff man. Thompson, the third baseman, still expecting the bunt, is in on the grass. Next pitch is strike two. Knee high. Count is ball one and strike two. Outfielders are straight away. Hegan started it off with a walk. Little checks his sign. Here's the stretch. A look to the runner at first. And the pitch is swung on and popped up to the left side of the infield. Alvin Dodge takes charge. He's under this one now, and he has it. Route number one. One away. That brings up the leadoff batter, Al Smith, number 32. First time up with a count 3-2, he pops to the second baseman, Davey Williams. Now the outfielders moving around toward left, deep in all fields. Big hole open out in right center. First pitch, strike call, letter high. There was the fastball working to the outside corner. Strike one. Bobby Avila moves into the on-deck circle. Off to the right of the plate. Whitey Lockman holding at first base against Jim Hegan with the right-hand batter up. Next pitch is swung and a ground ball is to the third baseman. And nice stop by Thompson. The throw to second. One away. Back to first. It's a double play. Around the horn. Hank Thompson moving to his left to spear that ball as it was heading into left field. Forced Hegan with a throw to Williams. Williams' throw to first was in time for the double play. For the Indians in the third, no runs, no hits, nothing across. At the end of three, the score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing.
Be sharp and listen, mister, how are you thinking for play? Do you have training? How are you thinking for play? You better check. Please make sure you have enough.
Cause a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough.
How are you thinking for play? Better look to let the blade we need.
Thompson has come up with some great plays in this series. He's played great baseball at third, taking care of some rough chances. And there was a ball that would have gone by many third basemen in the majors into left field. He stayed with it, caught it in the webbing of his gloves. Rifled his throw over to second. Back to first, it was a double play. Now Lemon out taking his warm-up throws, and the first man up for the Giants in the fourth inning will be Wes Westrum, the Giant catcher. Tony Cuccinello is taking Lemon's warm-up throws. Al Rosen, the third baseman, moves out on the grass, right back to the pitcher, talking to his infielders. Denty, Avila, and Wirtz. Now here comes the Indian catcher, Jim Hegan, out. Takes a little time to get all that gear on. The shin guards, the mask, and the chest protector. Once around the infield and back to the pitcher on the mound with the ball, and it's Wes Westrum leading off, number nine. Westrum is having a fine World Series for himself. Two RBIs, three hits, takes a strike, a curveball breaking to the outside corner. He was safe at first on an error charged to the right fielder, Wally Westlake, in the second inning. Had a run batted in. Next pitch is fouled back into the upper deck, landing in the press box. And the count is strike two. 0-2 on the batter. In case some of you are still wondering about it, the official ruling on the fly ball by Westrum in the second inning was a sacrifice fly. And then an error charged to the right fielder, Westlake, who had the ball but dropped it. Next pitch is wide of the plate, gets away from the catcher, back to the screen. Ball one and strike two. The Giants have a total of five hits, as against only one for the Indians. The Giants have three runs, an all-important baseball commodity. Outfielders are round toward left. The 1-2 pitch, a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Westrum goes down swinging. Fourth strikeout for Bob Lemon. And coming up is the pitcher, Don Little, while we're waiting for him. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
Number 37, Don Little, stepping into the batter's box. He was called out on strikes in the second inning. Lemon's first pitch, ball one, over but too low. Ball one the count. The fourth game of the 1954 World Series being played here at Cleveland. Next pitch to Little, he swings and hits it foul into the dirt. Hit him on the foot, in fact. He reaches down to the instep, trying to shake it off. Those little foul tips can really hurt you. Count is even, ball one and strike one. One out and nobody on right now. Lead off batter, Whitey Lockman, swinging the bat in the on-deck circle. Lemon chewing that gum a mile a minute. Comes on with the next pitch, a strike called. Batter high. Little step back from it. Ball one and strike two. Here's the windup. The next pitch, a swing and a miss. He struck him out. Little goes down swinging. A total of five strikeouts for the Indian right-hander. And it brings up Whitey Lockman, who was a strikeout victim in the first inning. In the third inning, he grounded out to the first baseman, Vic Wirtz. Larry Doby pulled off center toward right. Wally Westlake is deep and straight away. Someone okays the sign. The first pitch to Lockman. A strike it is to the outside corner waist side. Strike one, the count. Whitey Lockman still makes his home down in Charlotte, his native North Carolina. Next pitch, a line drive right back to Lemon. He knocks it down, picks it up. Here's the throw to first in time. A fine recovery. Lockman is out, pitcher to first. 1-3. Boy, that's one of those line drives. You throw up your glove and say a little prayer. The Giants go down in the fourth inning. No runs, no hits, nothing across. And going into the last half of the fourth inning, the score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing. I know plenty of you men swear by Gillette's three-piece razor. And more power to you. Sure, you're getting slick shaves, but here's news for you. Today's Gillette Super Speed Razor gives you all that and then some. It's made in one piece, so you don't take it apart and put it together again when changing blades. All you do is twist the handle, hook on a blade, and twist again. Blade changing is that easy, and a quick rinse cleans the razor for your next shave. Then you get this wonderfully convenient razor for just $1. We've been telling you about the new enlarged Gillette World Series record book, too. Well, it's attached and it's free. Better tie down your copy before the fast-moving supply is all gone. Last half of the fourth inning, and Don Little has finished his warm-up throws, ready to pitch to Bobby Avila, Indian second baseman. There's a more exciting atmosphere here at the ballpark in Cleveland today. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's the fans calling for the underdog, hoping to help the Indians to that first victory that will carry the series into more games. The Giants lead 3-0 and are ahead in this fourth game. The score right now 3-0. First pitch to Avila is a strike. Right in there at the knees with a curveball. Watching this little left-hander, you know now why they call him the boy with pinpoint control. Here's the windup. Next pitch. Ball one, over but low. 1-1 the count. Avila laced into a pitch in the first inning, but lined it right to the second baseman, Davy Williams. Irvin, the left fielder, is deep and straight away. The 1-1 pitch is swung on and popped up. Back of second base, Alvin Dock moving back onto the grass. He's under it, and he has it. Out number one. Sort of looks like that jinx we've been talking about so often is following Bobby Avila. Many batting champions have found it very rough when they did get into a World Series. And certainly Avila is. He's had only two hits. Got one the first time up. Has had rough going since then. Larry Doby, the next batter. Left-hand batter takes ball one outside. A curveball breaking away from him. Doby struck out his first time up in the first inning. Little's only strikeout thus far. Last of the fourth. One out and nobody on. Next pitch. Doby pulls it foul off to the right. Ball one and strike one. Even count. Little has been in no trouble thus far. The Indians opened the third with a base on balls, but after Lemon had popped out, Smith hit into a double play. Wirtz doubled in the second inning for the only hit off the Giant left-hander. The 1-1 pitch. Doby swings and hits a ground ball to the right side of the infield. Williams scoots over up with it. The throw to first and Doby is out. Doby grounding out. Williams to Lockman. 4-3. You know, whether this series goes past four games is still anybody's guess. But you know something? Back in 1887, under different rules, the series lasted 15 games, believe it or not. You've got this and a raft of other dope in the Gillette World Series record book. Right handy for you. Al Rosen steps in with two outs. Nobody on, he takes ball one high and outside. Last half of the fourth inning. The score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing. Outfielders deep and around toward left. Next pitch is swung on. A fly ball hit foul down the right field line. It'll be in the stands, but out of play. One and one to count. It's a long strike. Batter on deck is Vic Wirtz, possessor of the only hit off Don Little. Rosen looking for hit number three in this series. Here's the pitch. He swings, foul tips it into the catcher's glove for strike two. Ball one, strike two to count. Willie Mays playing over in left center. Monty Irvin back to the edge of the track, straight away in left. Little rocks into the windup. The one and two pitch is ball two. Missed by a hair. 2-2 count. Rosen steps back into the batter's box. He uses the closed stance, front foot up close to the plate. Then strides forward into the pitch. Here it is, swung on, a ground ball, a grass cutter, hit to the shortstop. Doc is up with it, the throw to first in time. Rosen is out, and the Indians bite the dust. 1-2-3. No runs, no hit. And so at the end of four innings, the score. The Giants have 3 runs on 5 hits, no errors. The Indians, no runs, 1 hit, and 2 errors. You know, folks, it may surprise you to know that every 20 seconds, there's a fire somewhere in this great nation of ours. Every year, fires kill over 12,000 people and cause $800 million of property damage. Now, to help prevent a fire in your home, why don't you try to observe these four rules? Number one, don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes or matches carelessly. Number two, clean out all newspapers, mattresses, broken furniture, and other flammable materials. Number three, promptly repair defective electrical equipment. Replace worn or frayed wiring. Number four, use cleaning fluids that won't burn. In other words, don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you. Bit of excitement down to our left here. Some of the folks peering into the giant dugout, trying to get a look at the boys. And, of course, folks wanting to see what notables are around them, and there are a lot of them here. From everywhere. Movie stars, stars of radio and television, notables in public life, and out on the field, the two championship teams. Champions of the National League, the New York Giants. Champions of the American League, the Cleveland Indians. The fourth game, the Giants taking the first three games. This one, they could lock it up. They lead by a score of 3-0, and Bob Lemon is ready to work now as Alvin Dock steps into the batter's box. Dock has 1 out of 2 in this game. Fouls the first pitch back into the screen, strike one. So Dock is doing all right. He now has 5 hits in the 54 World Series. This is his 16th World Series game. Next pitch is too low. Ball one. 1-1. The count is even up. Giants got 2 in the 2nd. Loose Indian play. Added 1 in the 3rd to lead 3-0. Next pitch. Dog swings. Hits a fly ball going out into left center. It's going to drop in there for a base hit. A single for Alvin Dog as he drops one into left center. Those are the ones the boys kid you about in the clubhouse. Tell them, say, what are you hitting with, a bamboo stick? Banjo. Red Crest's favorite expression, what are you batting with? What are you hitting with? Sporting news? Don Mueller is up, a left-hand batter with a runner on first. Nobody out. A pitch out called for, but Doc is holding it first. Two pitchers again warming up in the Indian bullpen. Left-hander Hal Newhouser. Right-hander Ray Narleski. Outfield straight away for Mueller. Here's two for two. Lemon checks the runner. The pitch is swung and there's a line drive hit into right field for base hit. Doc races to second, makes the turn. Westlake is up with the ball. The throw over to third is cut off by Denny. Mueller holding it first. There's that man Mueller coming through with his third straight hit. The Giants now have a total of seven. Well, this was the setup we had in the third inning. Doc singled into left. Mueller moved into third with a single into right. Nobody out, and the batter is Willie Mays. In the third inning, they did have one out. Mays doubled his last time up. Infield back in normal position. Mueller leads off first. Doc on third. The pitch to Mays is ball one outside and low. Mueller now has seven hits in the series. That ties him with Rick Wirt. Here's the stretch by Lemon. The pitch is too low for ball two. Two and no count. Three straight hits, so that's a fine performance. Last two have been sharp singles into right field. Hitting behind that runner, moving away from first. Outfielders around to left, deep in all fields for Mays. And he can hit the all fields. The 2-0 pitch. Fouled off into the stands back of first. He was trying to hit the right field. He moved up on the pitch. The count is now 2-1. Ball two, strike one the count. Seven hits for the Giants as against one for the Indians. The Giants have hit safely in every inning except the fourth. Lemon retired them in order. That's the only time that he has been able to do it. Giants had three hits in the third inning. We had a like situation. That's what we have now. The 2-1 pitch fouled back to the screen. Ball two and strike two. Mays in the first inning fouled out to the first baseman Wirt. But in the third, he bounced a double over Rosen's head down the left field corner. Right now, he's trying for a base hit or a fly ball, sacrifice fly that would bring a run home. Doc on third, Mueller on first. Doc in yesterday's game showed us a brilliant bit of base running. And he was trapped between third and home, allowing runners to move up to second and third before he was tagged out. The 2-2 pitch is low into the dirt. Good stop by Jim Hegan to avoid trouble. And the string is out. Full count of 3-2. Lemon tosses the ball into the umpire, who wants to look it over. Umpire John Stevens of the American League umpiring staff. Along with the other American League umpires under Cal Hubbard all season long, do that great job of calling 154 games. Or in the case of the Indians, 156, they played two tie games. The count 3-2. Here's the stretch. Lemon checks to the runner at first. The pitch fouled back into the sand. Count remains 3-2. This is the first of the fifth, with the Giants leading by a score of 3-0. They scrambled for the first two games in New York, won yesterday's game easily, and came out slugging in this one. Time is called. A ball gets away from Bill Roby, Indian catching coach, who is working with Ray Narlesky down in the bullpen. Lobey has been with the Indians for 25 years. He and Mel Harder, two of the men who have been around the Indian and Cleveland baseball picture for a long time. Doc is on third. He let off with a single. Mueller on first. He singled into right. His third straight hit. Nobody out. Clemens has his sign. There's the pitch. Ball four, outside, and low with a curve. He walks him. And the bases are loaded. Here comes Al Lopez, the manager, out of the Indian dugout. Henry Thompson is the batter. And Thompson, now on deck, has walked five times. Three of them were intentional walks, and he has scored five times. The pitcher being called in by Al Lopez is Hal Newhouser, famed left-hander, formerly with the Detroit Tigers. Being called into the game, the pitch to Henry Thompson. We're talking about Thompson's bases on balls. He has walked six times. The last time up, he got an intentional pass, remember? So that is all for Bob Lemon. Leaving the game now. He has worked four innings. Nobody out. Lemon used 74 pitches in working four and a fraction innings. How they get no credit for more than the four innings, and there are none out. The bases are loaded. He gave up a total of seven hits. He walked three men, struck out five, and has allowed three runs and is leaving the bases loaded. Should any or all of these men score, they will be charged to him. And on the other side of the picture, the giant left-hander, John Little, who hasn't given up a run yet, and only one hit. You know, back in 1905, Christy Matheson put three shutouts in one World Series. Facts like this are at your fingertips in the Gillette World Series record book. Al Newhouser, left-hander. And the first man to face him will be left-hand batter Henry Thompson. He's walked twice and scored one. The bases are loaded. Newhouser pitches, ball one high and inside. He proved to be a very valuable asset to the Indians in 1954 during the regular season. He appeared in 26 ball games. He won seven and lost two. Next pitch is a strike with a curve, rather high to the left-hand batter, Henry Thompson. Newhouser had an earned run average of 2.51. In 1945, he pitched in the World Series as a member of the Detroit Tigers, working three games, won two and lost one. The running one pitch is low into the deck. Good pickup by Jim Hogan. The bases are loaded. Nobody out for the Giants in the first half of the fifth inning. The score is New York 3, Cleveland nothing. New ball is tossed into play. Al Helfer will come on to the microphone shortly. We'll remember that 1945 series. He did it. The next pitch is ball three, outside and low, and Newhouser is in a flock of trouble. The base is loaded. No place to put this runner unless you want to let one score. That's what will happen if you want him. Here's the windup. The 2-1 pitch fouled back to the screen. Thompson was swinging on that 3-1. Well, the swing is out. First count of 3-2. With Clark on third, Mueller on second, and Mays on first.
Newhouse tightens the trap on his head with his left hand. Here's the windup. The future pitcher falls for a high and side. Fails to break left curve, and it forces in a run. The bases are still loaded, still nobody out, and the Giants now lead by a score of 4-0. Run batted in for Thompson, and his third walk in today's game. That brings up the right-hand batter, Marty Irvin. First pitch to Irvin is ball one too high. The run scored there by Alvin Brouse is charged against Bob Lemon. Giants lead 4-0. Newhouse is just the time. Here's the windup. And the pitch fouled off to the right of the plate, going back into the stand. One and one the count. Now we have Mueller on third. Hayes on second. Thompson on first. Last man on the bases. The next pitch is a strike to the inside corner. Irvin pulled out of the way. It is now ball one and strike two. Batter on deck is Goldie Williams. Irvin has been up twice. A double in the second inning. He struck out in the third. The count ball one and strike two. Newhouser rocks into the windup. The pitch is high for ball two. Turns it down. Trying to get a fastball in there. And boy, in his heyday, he really had a crusher of a fastball. He was a pitcher who could really blow him by about him. All right, the super pitch. Irving swings and wraps one into left field. A base hit. Mueller scores. There's Mays racing around third. He comes on to score. The throw by Al Smith into the infield. Traps Thompson at second. And here comes Al Lopez out of the Indian dugout as two runs come home. A single into left for Marty Irvin, and the Giants lead by a score of 6-0. Two runs batted in by the Giant left fielder. He started today's game with a zero batting average. Now has two hits and two runs batted in. All three of these runs that have scored are charged to Bob Lemon, so he has given up 6 runs in the 4 innings that he worked. The Giants lead 6-0, and that is going to be all for Hal Newhouse. Ray Narleski, a right-hander, is being called into the game. Runners on first and second with nobody out. So Newhouse had a brief stay on the mound, hoping for just 2 men. So, here goes no innings, nobody out. He allowed one hit, walked one man. While he was allowed no runs of death, but either of these 2 men score, or he'll be charged to him. Ray Narleski, the hard-nosed rookie, right-hander, coming on. Hurling in 89 innings during the regular season, Narleski posted a fine earned run average of 2.22. striking out 52 batters. Taking his warm-up throws now. Ray Narleski, like all youngsters, wanted to be a starting pitcher. Down at Indianapolis in the American Association last year, Bertie Cubitt, then manager of that ball club, and Ted Wilk, a pitching coach, also on the roster during the season, past season, worked with him, discussed it, and recommended that he take over relief pitching charge. And under their tutelage and encouragement, Narleski came on to be one of the fine relief artists of the American Association, and made good with the Indians in spring training of this year. Runners are on first and second, with nobody out. 3 runs are home for the Giants. They lead by a score of 6-0. First half of the fifth inning. Stepping into the batter's box is Goldie Williams. He's 0-2. He bunts the first pitch, foul, down the first baseline, out of play, struck one. Thompson on second, Monty Irvin on first. Well, Irvin is a much happier boy right now than he was before today's game. He had gone hitless in the first three games, listed for a pencil, Luke Burns. Next pitch went to Williams, whose ball went inside. He was going to bunt, but got the ball out of the way. Even up count, ball one and strike one. Keegan, ever alert, back of the plate, came up ready to throw, but the runners were holding. Thompson on second, Irvin on first. The outfield is around toward left. Batter on deck is Wes Weston. Now Lester takes the stretch. Well, Pitchin has the bunt. Pushed down the first baseline. Works it up with a turn. Trying to make a throw. Second to third. Throws to first. And Williams is out on the sacrifice. Reynolds on second and third. One out. And the batter is Weston. Sacrifice for Williams. He goes out. The official scoring, 3-4, first baseman to second baseman, covering the first. The Weston now steps into the batter's box, the infielder brings out. First pitch is ball one, too low. Thompson on third, Irvin on second. Indian infield in tight. The next pitch is fouled on a foul ball going into short right center. Westbrook closing in on this one. He's under now, the runner third. Bag tags up. The throw coming in, throws the runner, and too late is the throw. Irvin moves to third on the turn of the plate as Thompson scores. Sacrifice fly for Weston, his second run today, and his second run batted in today's game. Thompson scored the fourth grand run of the inning. They lead now by a score of 7-0. Down the throw into the plate by Westlake. Irvin moves to third base. They're two away, and the pitcher Don Little is coming up. The Weston now has three runs added in this game. Little, left hand batter, swings and misses, strike one, the first pitch to him. Three runs in this inning at Charles Lemon and one to Newhouser. Next pitch swung on a ground ball to the right side of the infield. A Vula charges it up with a plenty of time, but Philip Hilton Little is out. The side is retired. So in the fifth inning for the Giants, Big Teddy's here. Four runs on a total of three hits and one man left on the bases. There were two walks in there. And going into the last half of the fifth inning, the score is New York 7, Cleveland nothing. Hey, men, there's something really special about a shaving cream food with today's Gillette Super Speed Razor. What's this? It's clean, just as clean as a shave possibly can be. And looks good for a long time, too. Yes, and it's wonderfully refreshing. Sort of gives you a lift when you're trying to get started in the morning or keep going in the evening. If you're not using this up to the minute, 1-2-3-3, man, you're passing up a mighty good thing. You soon bathe in a jiffy. A quick rinse cleans it. Well, you save time and you save bother. Be sure to ask for a Gillette Super Speed Razor with blue blade dispenser and travel tools. It's just $1. Attached is a free copy of the handy Gillette World Series record book. So you better get yours right away. That supply won't last very long. Going into the last half of the fifth inning here at Cleveland's Municipal Stadium, the Giants lead 7-0. And now taking over the microphone to carry on this ball game over neutral and stations all over the world is Al Helfer. Al, come on in.
All right, Jimmy, it's been rough. 4-1 inning so far as far as the Cleveland Indians are concerned. New York leading them 7-0. Only one hit, having been surrendered here by Don Little. The left-handed delivers now. The victory is swung on. There's a high fly ball hitting the 30-yard center field. Willie Mays under it makes the catch. And we have out number one in the last half of inning number five. And before Wally Wesley comes up to the plate, let's pause here for 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all Americans.
7 p.m. Chicago City Station, 7 Middle West.
Up at the plate steps Wally Wesley. The big right-hand hitter takes the first pitch. Fired in there by Little. It's low for ball one. Wesley came up in the second inning, his first time up to the plate today, and grounded to the left side, being thrown out by shortstop Alvin Wright. Little from Mount Carmel, Illinois. Spins the next pitch in there, fastball. Is it? The knee's good for a called strike. One ball and one strike on Wally Wesley. The Turtles, in case you're keeping them up here this afternoon, are 7 runs, 8 hits, no errors for the Giants, and going back to our time. And for the Cleveland Indians, 2 runs, 1 hit, and 2 errors. Just like after the next pitch, cuts a high foul ball after the right of the screen, coming back by the spectators and into the crowd. Strike 2 on Wally. 1 ball and 2 strikes. We were talking yesterday about a team that had won 3 games in the World Series. They'd won 3 games, they hadn't gone on to lose it. And the several wires had come along to say that was false. We'll tell you how it is in a moment. Curveballs, the yellow rest like to swing on. There's a high pop-up off the first baseline. They're just in foul territory outside of first. The catch is made by first baseman Roddy Luck. The batter now is Sam Gunter, the shortstop for Cleveland. Sam came up in second inning, goes Willie Mays back in center field to take his long fly ball, good for an extra base roll. We said if no team had ever lost 3 ball games, and then come back to win, that's the first 3. Well, some of the fans around the country sort of questioned the 1925 World Series played between Washington and Pittsburgh. The first pitch today is the open ball one. But if you go back to the World Series record book, published by Gillette, you'll find it to be true. The first year is number then far back to strike, and count is 1-1. In that World Series, Pittsburgh took the second ball game. Aldridge beating Kovalevsky. I was set. Down comes the pitch. Johnny swings on it, hits another high, leaping fire ball after the right of the plate. Up turns it back into the customers out of play. The final stand, Denny swings off, 2 strikes, 2 down. Last half of the first inning, nobody on for Cleveland, and the score standing New York 7 and Cleveland's nothing. John Little, not a surprise starter, but certainly a surprise to the Indians, where he is pitched here this afternoon. He's given up only 1 base hit. That's when Vic Wirtz got a double, with Jimmy Crosby in the second inning, hit in the alley in right center field, all the way back to the fence. That's the only base blow off, Don Little. The left hander twists, hits, and throws. It curves to Denny, and it stays outside. That's ball two. 2 balls and 2 strikes. If I remember right, the score in that second game of the World Series in 1925, Pittsburgh and Washington was 4-3 in favor of Pittsburgh. The big deep and direct of the victory time, it was all reaching Kovalevsky. They put the swing on by Denny, a bounding ball off the plate, down the first base it goes. There is Little trying to cover at first base, taking the pass from Whitey Luckman, and it's not in time. It's not in time, or did the throw throw Little out? That went on a minute, Little's trying to go as an error, a base hit. Waiting for the official score to give us the verdict. It's going to be an error, but for whom is the error charged? On the throw, or is it charged on the pitcher? It's charged apparently on the throw. It's charged on the pitcher. Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. Charged on the pitcher. So Tom Bunty is the runner at first base. John Little, curling to touch first base as he took Wally Rockman slow. So we have the first giant error here this afternoon, charged at the pitcher Little. Now Little is ready to pitch to Jim Higgin. He dives, and Jim takes a lot of curveballs through that first strike. Jimmy told you earlier in the broadcast, Don Little is known as a spot or pinpoint pitcher, and he does a lot of his pitching low, right down to the knee. Now they set for the pitch. Here he comes, Higgins swings on it, and races it back a second. There is Davey Willenberger, covers the ball, and all hands are safe. He made a nice knockdown, but couldn't come up with it. He could not come up with the ball. So the Indians have runners at first and second. And now, once again, we go to Mr. McCauley, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Comanche to see what they've decided on this play. It was a hard smash back at second base. J.B. Williams over knocked it down, made a nice play of it, and he is being charged with the error, as when he tried to pull the ball out of his glove to make the throw, he dropped it on the infield. So Hank Majewski comes up now to bat for Narleski. Majewski batting for Narleski, who went one inning here this afternoon. So Majewski comes up to bat. The Indians are trying to make a little hay here while the sun shines on Municipal Stadium. And here in the last half of the fifth inning, up comes Majewski. Hank Majewski to bat for our pitcher, Will Narleski. So that means we'll have the first pitcher in. Bobby Cleveland Indians. Majewski, who played yesterday, is coming up to the plate right now. He has no batting percentage. He is 0-5 in 3 games. He's on the first pitch and fouls it back to the screen. Looks like one. Down the bullpen. Well, left-hander Don Mackey warming up. Looks as though it'll be he coming on. The pitch in the top half of the sixth inning for Cleveland. Two errors, the two down here in the last half of the fifth inning, have given the Cleveland Indians their best opportunity of the entire day. One error charged to the pitcher, Little. The other one charged to the second baseman, Williams. Now Little in trouble, delivers. Majewski swings, hooks a long drive deep in the left field. There's a pretty well hit there. Holland leaps. He can't get it. It's a home run for Majewski. That the oldest eligible player here in this World Series, Hank Majewski, comes rumbling off the bench and puts Cleveland back into the ball game with a 3-run home run. That's now 7-3 over the Giants. As Al Smith steps up here for the Cleveland Indians, with 2 down in the bases empty, and takes the first pitch low for ball one. A hard smash by Hank Majewski. That'll be the 3rd home run for Cleveland in the series. The pitch to the plate is taken high and off the shoulder by Smith. That's ball two. And we'll have double barreled activity down in the bullpen for the New York Giants. We've got a right-hander up there, throwing, and have a left hand in a moment. Don Little, who's almost invincible up until his fifth inning. And suddenly he has been cut. 2 errors, of course. Open the door. These runs will not be earned. They could thank a million of them in here in the fifth inning, will not be earned. Down comes the pitch to Smith at low. That's ball three. So we've had 2 pinch hit home runs in this World Series, run by Rusty Rhodes of the Giants in the first game, and here Majewski this afternoon. Electrifying the thousands here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland with a 3-run home run cranked over the left field barrier. Now the Irvin went high and couldn't make the catch. That ball was hit about 380 feet from home plate. Al Smith was hit one of the home runs for Cleveland in the series and top of the plate now. The 3-0 pitch to him is a fastball late in there for a strike. There was the fans of opportunity, rapidly running through the narrow neck of the hourglass of time, Cleveland is trying to do something about it. Little makes this pitch to the plate, throws the fastball, taken on the outside corner for five strike two. 2 balls, 2 strikes. That's the same number that Al Smith wears on the back of his uniform shirt, number 32. Open up, slide the right-hand header. Stands in, grabs up, play tackle. Now down Little gets set with his 3-2 pitch. Down it whistles. The throw is coming in, hanging the center field. Willie Mays looking up into the sun out there. It's a routine chance for Willie. There's a basket catch to retire the side. Well, that's all here in the fifth inning. The Cravens are terrific on. Pick up 3 runs. The Dusty featured Hunter. That was the hit in the inning. There were 2 errors, and nobody was left on. So the score now at the end of 5 full innings of play. What's the end of the World Series? It is the first New York Giants 7 the Cleveland Indians 3. Well, this one, Dick Natter, is a great man with a bat. He's a great guy to know, too, believe me. When I asked him about Shady, he said, well, if you make real easy skills, you look right and feel right, you can forget about any razor but the young face you left. That's a nutty sort of man, that Duke. The official paid attendance has just been announced here at Municipal Stadium. 78,102. 78,102 paid here this afternoon. For the four games in the series, the attendance has reached 261,507. Don Murphy comes in to pitch for the Cleveland Indians now. Don Murphy to the left-hander. Don Murphy from Redwood City, California. 190 pounds. As far as working in this series is concerned, Don Murphy has appeared in two ball games. He's pitched two innings. He's given up two hits, struck out one man. Coming up to the plate now for the New York Giants, Buddy Luckman. It's a 7-4 ball game, and very suddenly Cleveland exploded in the last half of the fifth inning. When with two down, two errors were committed by the New York Giants, allowing two men to get on, and then Hank Majewski came up to hit for Lucky and cracked a home run over the left field wall. Now Murphy's ready. Pitches to Buddy Luckman, who swings and foul pitches, beating down the ground for strike one. John Murphy on here to pitch in the sixth inning. It's not his ball game as it now stands, but it could be. Murphy ready, takes the shot from Hayden. There's a curve in there to the plate, and Ruckman pulls the bunt down the first baseline. Victor has it. Just as Murphy Ruckman goes to first base, he stops. Victor reaches out, tags in on the uniform blouse where it says New York. And that's all for Luckman. Well, he tried to drag one down the first baseline and did, but he pushed it too far. So we have one out here in the top of the sixth inning, and the batter coming up is Alvin Guard. Alvin Guard has had two base hits in three times, two singles to left field. Drives into a curveball and doesn't offer, takes the pitch over for a strike. Balls and one strike to count on Alvin Dark. One out, nobody on, top of the six. Giants out in front, 7-3, and the Cleveland Indians bitterly battling here this afternoon. Murphy delivers a curve, and Dark puts the third right to him and goes foul. Just for a brief minute here this afternoon, rolled back 11 years. As Jimmy Dudley told you, Hal Newhouser came on to pitch, and I remember very vividly seeing Hal Newhouser win two ball games and lose one against the Chicago Cubs back in 1945. The 0-2 delivery now to Alvin Dyer. Swung on, there's a bounding ball, hit back to first base. Victor's up with it, races to first, sets on first, and that's all for Alvin Dyer. The two Giants fight the dust here in the top half of inning number six. And back there 11 years ago. Not quite 11 years ago, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. 9 years ago, 1945 World Series. A fellow by the name of Bill Slater, very well known in the sports world, had the pleasure of working that World Series with Bill. The last several years, Bill has been gravely ill, and I understand he's recuperating down in Florida, and you sincerely hope that he might be listening in today. Don Mueller, old man, break up at the plate, swings on the first pitch, offered by Murphy, hits a great back to the mound, Murphy's got a pass for first drifting time, and Mueller's out. Last by an eyelash. Well, Cleveland seems to be circling up here. The Giants have moved down in order here. In the sixth inning by Murphy, without getting the ball out of the infield. Well, it's nothing fast for the Giants in, fast for turning. And we're moving to last half of the six. Score at the end of 5.5 innings of play remains. New York 7, the Cleveland Indians 3. Well, in that attendance, several fouls. Good giver for record cheer to go to the ball players this year. You'll find cheers in the past year in the Select World Series record book. 2 million copies of last year's book were enough to go around, friends, and well, how's this year edition moving out? It certainly is. That's because this handy reference will get you a lot more fun out of baseball. It has the score of every World Series game, winning pitchers, all-time records of every player, and diagrams and dimensions and continuations of every pass. This year's killer rosters and basic rules, killing instructions, and well, that's about everything. Now, Gillette Super Speed Racers, that's for just $1, the regular price. The bigger and better 1944 edition of the Gillette World Series book is attached and doesn't cost you a red cent. Last half of the sixth inning, Bobby Adola. The Pepsi Fire of Veracruz comes up to the plate here for the Cleveland Indians. And of course, anticipating that perhaps the Cleveland Indians have snapped out of their lethargy, the fans start the last half of the sixth inning with Bobby Adola coming up with a round of applause. Little ties the first pitch to Adola and gets it over to wait for a called strike. Adola is 0 for 2 this afternoon. He's 2 for 13 for the entire series. 2 hits for 13 at bat. Bobby batting right-handed, standing just off the plate. Holds up that way down to the mound. Little swings the pitch in, and Avila swings on it. There's a high fly ball hanging in center field. Willie Mays, after he's left defender, waits for it to come down. He's got it. Well, there's out number one. One out in the bottom of the sixth inning. The batter coming up to the plate is Larry Doby. Ryan Cleveland here for a long time. He's known as the fence buster. Doby this year led the home run, loved his off seven home runs, runs got it in. So far in this series, Doby has had two base hits for 14 times at bat. Little throws the fastball to him and picks up the knees on the outside corner for a foul strike. Doby has struck out a total of four times and walked by. Larry levels that bat off, left hand hitter, bends at the knees. Little letter saw him, took the swing on, there's a bounding ball hit right of the mound. Little is off, field tires the first, and Doby is off. Well, the Indians quickly have two men away here, and he's got him to sixth inning. The batter coming up is Rosen. Cliff hasn't hit a ball out of the infield in two times up. He was thrown out in the second inning by second baseman David Williams. And in the fourth inning, he tried to drive by grounding the shortstop Alvin Bush. Rosen playing quite a bad time, I think. Just got back to step in. Little throws up a big curveball on the tie, right off the peak of the cap for ball one. Jeff Russell, who has got very well here for the Giants in this World Series, pumps the sign out a little. John is ready, goes over his head, kicks, throws the fastball, and Rose Matthews sends one hopper down the third. Thompson's got it, fires over to first base, low into the dirt, Robbie Lockman's up with it, there's out number three. Well, Rosen down back from third to first, retired the side. Nothing across with the Cleveland in the last half of the sixth inning, and the start at the end of the fifth full inning to play. There's New York 7 and the Cleveland Indians 3. Well, if the Indians could come back and take the Braves game, their all-time World Series record will be 10-1 and 7-1 for a percentage of 5.88. Well, that is top by the Yankees, who have won 71 and lost 35 for a percentage of 670. The last one was left World Series record book. Don't you trip me on that now.
Seven. Going into the top of the seventh inning, it's going to be Mary Thompson Nolan. Three, going back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pitchers. Six pitchers in the last half of the sixth inning. Bob Judd got the shortest. Winning we've had in the series so far. Six pitches. That's pretty quick. That's getting rid of men in a hurry. After the plate now comes Willie Mays here in the top of the seventh inning. Don Murphy goes back to work. Cutting the Cleveland ball club for you defensively. Don Murphy's on the mound. Jim Heaton behind the plate. The first is Vic Wirth. Bobby Avila at second. Up short is Sam Detty. At third is Al Roach. Al Smith in left field. Get the rest on for you in a moment. As Murphy curves. Mays and gets it over first strike. Roby is the center fielder for Cleveland. In right is Wally Westlake. It's a 7-3 ball game. The Giants having 7 runs on 8 hits. The Indians 3 runs on 2 hits. Both sides are committed to errors. Murphy pitches. Mays takes outside and high for a ball one. One ball and one strike. Top half of the seventh inning. Mays standing inside against the plate. Keeps his feet wide, spread apart, holds up that round of an arm. Mays hasn't blasted that long as I expected he might in the series, but he's hit timely. Next pass pitch outside for Mossy. Run the count, 2 runs. 2 balls and 1 strike. The outfield fans around the left for Willie Mays, blazing deep. For quite a while during the regular season, he thought he had an opportunity of breaking the home run record. Set by Babe Ruth. Pitch going, this time is outside. 4-3. 3-1. Just been announced here that the player's share in this World Series will amount to $244,843.60. The 3-1 pitch to Willie Mays. Fastball. Willie swings on and bounces it down back at first base. Roach comes up with it, steps on first, and Willie Mays is out. So that's the first out. In the sixth inning, Lockman bounced down to work. Dark bounced down to work. And here in the seventh, Willie Mays bounced to him. So he's been a busy little fellow down there at first base. Now hitting left-handed with Hank Thompson. Sort of the unsung hero of this World Series. Great defensively. Pitch line is high, up above the cap, right over the head for ball one. By the way, Thompson has walked 7 times in this series, and if this series should end with this ball game, he will have set a record for the number of walks in a 4-game series. Bases on balls record for 4 games, 6. Oh, my God. That's not a curve ball. This is right in and over. Thompson backed off from that when he thought it was going to be way upstairs. Mossy broke that curve up, but good. Threw that one the way of first base. Now the 1-1 pitch on left-handed batting Thompson. He runs up on it, swings on a fastball, and doesn't get it. That's strike two. Ray Narlucky came in here yesterday, old hard nose, as Jimmy Dudley calls him. Really fired that rock. Today, Don Mossy has come on, and he's been showing plenty of mastery with his pitches. The 1-2 delivery. Fastball swung on, bounced down off the rubber, home plate, a bounding ball to Bobby Avila. He comes in, can't pick it up, kicks the ball away from himself, and there's Thompson going to first to hold on. That'll go as the base hit. Bobby Avila coming in, tried to scoop it. It was one of those do-or-you-don't plays, and Bobby wasn't quite able to make it. It'll go as a base hit. So Thompson is on. That's the first hit given up by Mossy. That'll be hit number 9 for the Giants. Mossy to pitch to Monty Irvin with one out and one on. Mossy checks his runner, delivers a big curve to the plate. Irvin takes it outside and high for ball one. 1 ball, no strikes. 1 on, 1 out here in the top of the seventh. The Giants lead 7-3. Irvin flails up that back and forth, leans over the plate. Thompson leads it first. The fastball is fired by Mossy under the knees. That's ball two. In this World Series, this guy Thompson at third base has been on 11 times. That's just about par for the course, too. See Big Mike Garcia loosening up down in the Cleveland bullpen. Yesterday's starter and losing pitcher. Mossy delivers fastball. Irvin cups at it and hits it off a handle foul. 2 balls, 1 strike. Top of the seventh inning. The Giants leading by 4 runs. The score standing 7-3. They're bidding to sweep this one in 4. Monty Irvin, who went until today's second inning before he got his first base hit in the series, and then he broke out with a double up there, takes the fastball up to the face. That's ball three. Monty doubled to left center field in the second inning, struck out in the third, and singled to left in the fifth. He's driven in 2 runs. That single to left in the fifth drove in 2 of the Giants' 4 runs in their big 4-run fifth inning. Monty Irvin, the wearer of number 20. And Thompson steps away from first. Mossy serves up the plate, and Irvin cuts out and hits the foul ball off to the right of the screen. It's going back into the spectators out of play. So the count on Monty Irvin is 3-2. 3 balls and 2 strikes. 7 runs, 9 hits for the Giants, 4 the Cleveland Indians, 3 runs, 2 hits. 1-3-run home run by Hank Majeski as a pinch batter in the last half of the fifth inning. All 3 of the Cleveland runs in the inning were unearned. But nevertheless, they're up on that score sheet for everyone to see. Mossy's ready now. Glover 3-2 is a runner breaks, pitches swung on. Hits down, then he makes a nice shot, comes up in the two arena for 1 out to throw to first base. The double play.
Vincente, utility infielder. Makes a tough one look easy. The double play going from the shortstop, Sam Denny, who made a nice stop, over to Bobby Avila, who had to pivot in a big hurry to make the throw down to first base, and he did. Thompson was cut on the front end of the double play that erased the side here in the top of the seventh inning. And that is the second double play the Indians have come up with in the World Series to date. The runs, one hit for the New York Giants in the top of the seventh inning. There were no errors, nobody was left on. And the score at the end of 6 1/2 innings of play now, it's New York 7, Cleveland 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gillette presents the sharpest edges ever honed.
To look sharp, every time you shave, to feel sharp, and be on the ball, to be sharp, to Gillette, to blade for the quickest, quickest shave of all. Gillette, new blades are made to fit your razor to a T. They just let you crack and smile, for great economy, to look sharp, every time you shave, to feel sharp.
Blue blades in modern dispensers with used blade compartments are $24.98, $10.49. Now to the last half of the seventh inning. Bickford standing in. Left-hand hitter takes a curve from southpaw down middle, and it's good at the knees for called strike one. Wirtz has one of the two hits. The Cleveland bats have picked up this afternoon. Both of them have been extra base balls out little. Wirtz swings on the next pitch and sends a foul right up over our microphone. That's right, too. And while we get a new ball in play down there, let's pause here 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, the Chicago Tribune station, serving the Middle West.
Right back to the diamond here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. Nick Wirtz has one for two this afternoon, a double to right center. That came in the second inning, the crowd to center in the third. Little Wirtz going in through, throws the ball behind him. Pound behind his head. Weston leads out to keep it from going through, and that's ball one on Wirtz. Wirtz will be followed by Wally Westbrook and then by Sam Denny. Little perspiring down there on the mound. Shoulders of his gray uniform, saturated. Little probably gets the impression he's rather bully. Wirtz takes time, steps back to drive hands. 7-3 in favor of the Giants. Now Little bumps, kicks, and throws. Wirtz slips in a curveball, it stays high right off the corner of the chin. That's ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Last half of the seventh inning. Time is growing short. And Colvin. No one knows it any better than the fellas down the wearing those white home uniforms. The 2-2 pitch, an overhand curve to Wirtz, just high above the letters. Down the bullpen, Leo DeRocher has left-handed Johnny Antonelli. There's one ball game in this series, and Hoyt Wilhelm. The relief here yesterday. Both warm and ready in case Little should stumble here in the late stages. John Little from Mount Carmel, Illinois, ready to make his 3-2 pitch here to Vic Wirtz, the York, Pennsylvania boy. And it rides, fastball, swung on, jumped out in the center field, that's in there for the base hit. Wirtz is on. Wirtz a line shot single into center field. That's here for Vic Wirtz at his 8th base hit. 8th base hit, and 15 times up. Pick up his batting percentage by dividing 15 into 8.0. You'll have it.
Wally Westlake coming up. He's 0-2. As the Indians are trying to surge back in this one. That's the third hit off Little. Pitch looks like Westlake is taken and across him. It's over for a strike. Until today, John Little had pitched only one-third of an inning in the World Series, pitched out in relief a couple of days back over polo grounds. Chucky's runner first delivers the plate. Westlake takes a fastball under the knees. That's ball one.
One ball and one strike. Westlake can be followed by Dandy. Woods has opened the seventh with a single to center. It had authority. It was hit. Westlake swings on the next pitch and triples one out to the left of the plate. Foul. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Westlake. Still have got the new ball to work with. Looks around and checks his infield and outfield. Finds the outfield fan around the left. Playing pretty deep for Westlake. Hits up that round ball. A little power. Mick Woods leading off at first base. In comes the pitch. Westlake swings on a lot of curve ball. Doesn't get it. That's like three. Strange enough, Little has only 2 strikeouts for his credit here this afternoon. They got Gobie in the first inning, now has Westlake here in the seventh. One out, one on for Cleveland, last out of the seventh inning, and Sam Denny coming up to the plate. Sam is 0-2, he's flat out in the second inning through center field, and was a base runner on the pitcher's error in the fifth. Sam choking up on the hand of the bat stands just off the plate, hits right-handed. Bends at the knees, a little surge in the curve, it's over, right under the letters on the outside plate. Strike one. Nothing in one. The count on Sam Denny. One out, one on. Last of the seventh. Score 7-3 in favor of New York over Cleveland. Little checks his runner. Works at first. Delivers the plate. Pitches in there under the knees to Denny. 4-1. 1 ball and 1 strike. Little mucking around out of the mound. Kicks dirt. Comes to the peak of his cap. Steps up on the rubber. Looks down at Denny. Works is not being held on by Whitey Lockman. Whitey's quite well back to his fielding depth. Now little touch, kicks and throws. Fast ball, come on, missed 5-8 for strike two. Sam a little mad at himself for going at that low, going at that low one. Now there's 1-2 on Danny. I thought he'd go next. Will be catcher Jim Hegan. Now little touch. Down with his 1-2 pitch. Swung on there. The line drive hit out into left field. Up to it is Money Irvin. Makes the grab. And Woods has to come back to first base. Dandy hit the ball well, but hit right with Money Irvin. He got his hands on it. So we have 2 outs in the last of the seventh. And Jim Hegan moving up to the plate. Jim started today 1-10, hitting at 100. He had a double. Today he has walked in the fifth inning as a base runner on an error committed by second baseman Davey Williams. So Hegan is 0-1 today. 1-11 as he stands at the plate right now. Little tries the fastball on him, and Hegan proper shot him in the left field, so they hit. And second goes Wolf to hold on. Monty Irvin comes up with that ball in the left field and wheels it in. Two down. The Indians now have runners at first and second. And Sledges will come up to the plate, Don Massey. Let's see what Al Lopez is going to do. He's got Garcia down in the bullpen, warmed up and ready, all heated. And it looks as though Rudy Regalado is coming up to bat. Here's the announcement. Massey pitches 2 innings here this afternoon and gets by giving up only 1 base hit. Rudy Regalado is coming on. This is just thinking a little bit ahead, everybody, but if the Indians can do anything here in this ball game, about tying it up or running it perhaps into extra innings. Vic Woods at second base right now may get a couple of chances to tie Ruth's record of 10 hits in 4 games. Woods right now has 8. Ruth established that record back in 1928 in the World Series. Rudy Regalado batting for Don Massey. Rudy hitting right-handed. Standing just off the plate in time of call as he backs away from there. Decides Little is taking glass, but too much time. Regalado. .000 for batting percentage as he takes the first pitch high and drives the ball one. Runners to Cleveland to first and second. Two down, last half of the seventh. 7-3 in favor of the Giants. Cleveland making their bid. On to 1-0 pitch by Don Little. An overhand fastball taken on the outside corner knee high for a strike. One ball, one strike on pinch batter Rudy Regalado. Woods ready to set sail at second. Higgin ready to step off at first. Regalado leans over. Little comes in with a fastball. Thrown. He breaks back to the middle in the center field for a base hit. Woods coming around third. Willie Mays still goes to third. There goes Higgin into third. And we have runners at first and third and one score. It's a 7-4 ball game. As Cleveland comes fighting back, and Leo DeRosa calls for time and comes out of the giant dugout. He wants to go out and talk to his left-hander. Jim Higgin at third base. Rudy Regalado batting for Brown Murphy. Singles back to the middle. And hurriedly coming out of the giant dugout and going down to the bullpen is right-hander Marv Grissom, who relieved so magnificently in the first game of this World Series and picked up the win. Relieved Sal Magley. And as he was one of the pitchers that relieved Magley. And Leo DeRosa is going to call on Hank Wilhelm. Hank Wilhelm is coming on. He relieved here yesterday. And Hank Wilhelm is coming on to pitch here in the seventh inning. As John Little, who pitched magnificently up until the fifth, had the ball game fall apart a little on him in the fifth inning. When Cleveland scored three runs after two were out, two errors committed, allowed two men on, and Hank Majeski came up to hit a three-run home run for the Cleveland Indians to get them back in the ball game. Then the sixth inning was rather routine. In the seventh inning here, it has been trouble again for Don Little, so he goes out of there after having pitched six and two-thirds innings of ball. He's given up four runs, he's given up four base hits, he's walked one man, struck out two, wild pitched one time. But the two men on the bases right now are the responsibility of the now departing Don Little of Mount Carmel, Illinois. There's a round of applause for him. He pitched a good ball game today. Coming on to make his second appearance in the 1954 World Series. He came on in yesterday's ball game after Gomez had gone 7 1/3 innings and finished it out. New York winning the ball game 6-2. Now it's Wilhelm coming on to try to save this one for the Giants and for the starting pitcher Don Little. And it looks as though Pope is going to come up and do a little batting here for the Cleveland Indians. Here's back for Smith. Where is Pope? Dave Pope, a left-hand hitter, coming on to bat for Al Smith, a right-hander. Pope may stay in the ballgame to play out in left field, or we may have a realignment of the outfield position for Cleveland. Well, let's see. It's a 7-4 ball game, and the guy stepping up to the plate, Pope, represents the town one for Cleveland. Higgin is up third. Regalado, who singles back through the middle to drive in the run, is himself at first, a pretty good runner. Well, this little left-hander Dave Cook is coming up now. Let's see what happens with him with two down and two on. Last half of the seventh inning. Cleveland making their move here in the seventh, trying to do the same thing they did in the fifth inning. The reason for Pope being sent in, this spring Dave Cook hit Hurt Wilhelm pretty well in the spring exhibition game. Jimmy Dudley rubs his hands together. He's on his home ground here, and he's waiting to see what Pope's going to do, and I know there are thousands of Cleveland fans doing the same. How did the Giant fans all over the country have their fingers crossed right now? Well, let's see what happens with Hurt Wilhelm, was relieved Don Little. The knuckleballing right-hander gets set, checks these runners at first and second, gets down at Pope, the pinch batter, delivers to him the knuckle in the outside, way outside, and Westrum almost had the ball get away from him. But this guy, Westrum, is very adept at catching the knuckleball for Hoyt Wilhelm. Well, we've got a pretty tense situation here in the last half of the seventh inning. He's proven the score at one time. Wilhelm delivers the knuckle high, under the chin, that's ball two. 2 balls and no strikes. Old time is called while a ball is retrieved out in right field and got away from the bullpen crew working for Cleveland. Garcia is still throwing down there for Cleveland. Well, will be heat coming on here for Cleveland in the top of the eighth inning. Mike Wilhelm, with runners at first and third, second is open. Delivers to Pope, the nickel ball. Punch foul up to the left of the side. It comes almost into the broadcasting booth. 2 balls, 1 strike on Pope. He tried to hold up on his swing that time, but had gone too far around, so it followed through and poked the ball foul. 2 balls, 1 strike. Wilhelm, the well at number 49, a visit to the Rosenbag. Serious face young fellow steps up, makes his time from Weston, checks his runners. Higgins steps out third. Struggle out of our first. Down comes the pitcher, knuckleball swung on, and again punch foul. This one off the third baseline, way back into the second tier out of play. That rides to 2 balls and 2 strikes on Dave Folk batting for Al Smith, the leadoff man for Cleveland. Regalado batted from Mossy and hammered a run in by ripping a single right back through the middle. A little gave up 4 runs and 5 hits. He's responsible for the 2 men on right now. Hoyt Wilhelm trying to stem the tide. Put out the fire. 2-2 pitch now to Dave Folk, a left-hand hitter. Then it rides, the knuckleball, swung on and punch foul again. This one down the left field line. That goes into the crowd out of play. Out stays at 2-2, so Pope fouling him off. He's giving Wilhelm a workout. Again, as Pope climbs back in batter's box, Wilhelm checks his runners, goes to the top of the stretch, comes down, hesitates, kicks and throws. The knuckleball, swung on, hits right back to the line. Wilhelm has it, fires to first base, so Roddy Lockman, Pope is out, and the inning is over. So Wilhelm comes on here to get the last out, the seventh inning. But the Indians battle back, picking up 1 run on 3 base hits. There were no errors, and 2 men were left on. So the score here at the end of 7 full innings of play. It's now the New York Giants 7 and the Cleveland Indians 4. That's well. We've been seeing these two teams go at it hammer and tongs. Here's Municipal Stadium. 78,102 folks have come in here to see the excitement we've been telling you about. And Cleveland Stadium here is one of the few perfectly proportioned ballparks in the majors. Quite a field here. In the Gillette World Series record book, you see that a home run has to travel just as far and just as high to clear any fence in right field or right center as one in a comparable direction in left field or left center. And there have been many people saying that that should be in our ballpark. And if that be true, then the record could be much more even. Well, there has been a great move in that direction. This ballpark here is a very fine one, so is the White Sox park at Chicago. The one out in Baltimore is going to be a ballpark that will have dimensions. Well, it's just about the same. Now, Dave Pope has gone into left field as we expected he would, and Garcia has come on the pitch for the Cleveland Indians here in the eighth inning. So it's Garcia on the mound. The right-handed right-hander lost yesterday's ball game, so he's 0-1. No wins, one loss in the World Series up to now. But Garcia comes on, and Dave Pope remains out in left field. Came on the bat for Smith. And the first man to come up here in the eighth inning for the New York Giants will be Dave Williams. So we'll move into the top of the eighth inning with the Giants leading 7-4. They have 7 runs on 9 hits, have committed 2 errors, and for the Indians, 4 runs on 5 hits, Bullock, also 2 errors. J.D. Williams still looking for his first World Series base hit. He's 0 for 11. Sacrificed successfully his last time out. That was in fifth inning. Comes on, the right-handed batter from Dallas. Leans back from Garcia's fastball and takes it off the hips inside for ball one. Garcia, going around the trade is the big bear. Munt kicks and throws. Another fastball. Williams caught the foul off to the right of the plate. His way back up into the second tier. One ball and one strike. Top of inning number 8. Giants out in front for 3 runs. Trying to wind this one up. Garcia throws an overhand curve. It's in there for a strike, and the count is 1-2 on Williams. One ball and 2 strikes. Westman is on deck to go next, followed by the pitcher Wilhelm. Garcia throws, gets his curve in there low. That's ball two. Garcia pumps, kicks, throws 2-2, fastball inside off the knees. Williams jumping back, they call 3. Well, first out on Williams at 3 balls and 2 strikes. Top of the 8th inning, the first man up for the Giants. Garcia crawling away out there at the end. Takes a shot from Hegan. 3-2 pitch to plate, an overhand curve. Well on by Williams, there's a long drive deep in the left field. It's curving, and it goes foul into the seat. Just misses being a home run for Davey Williams. Tagged that ball pretty well. That's about as close as he'll ever come to making a home run, and not actually getting it. You can see the kid's shoulders sort of sag when that ball curves foul down at the 320-foot drive. Davey hasn't hit too many home runs this year. Actually, he's battled that stick all year long. His batting percentage hasn't been anywhere near where he or the Giants think it should be. But he's grimly stuck to it all year long. That would have been a great shot in the arm for the kid had that ball gone in. Well, it didn't quite make it. 3-2 pitch now by Garcia. An overhand fastball taken by Williams. Williams fired the ball 4. So Williams gets some compensation by drawing the walk. Up front here, the first base on balls. Fifth base on balls given up here to the New York Giants. And this one comes on. He sent a sacrifice fly to right field in the second inning, which started with batting in a run. Struck out in the fourth. Sacrifice fly to right field in the fifth, was driving his second run. So he has driven in a pair today and has gone 0 for 1, actually. Struck out in the fourth inning. Well, he can give that ball quite a ride, too. Minnesota boys press out the batter's box. Garcia fires to him and expecting to bunt, the infield comes charging in. Puts some cap on it. It's too close up against his uniform blouse. That's ball one. He's got a jet up overhead here. He's really going through a lot of tricks and antics. How is that? Westman scores off the bunker, puts the bunt down the first base line. Wirtz plays it. His only play is back to Avila covering at first base, and Williams has been sacrificed down to second. So, Westman bunts and sacrifices successfully. Wirtz handling, Avila taking at first base. So, it's a 3-4 foot out if you're going with it. Williams now in scoring position second, and the batter coming up is Hoyt Wilhelm. For his first at bat, he came in and pitched 1/3 of the 7th inning. Moving up to the plate. He's not a great shake as a batsman. He'll stand up and wave at him anyway. If you're looking into the last half of the 8th inning, I'd like to know who's coming up for Cleveland. It'll be Avila, Dobie, and Rosen in that order. Anybody else needed, it'll be Vic Wirtz. You know, many times sitting in the ballpark, folks like to look at the programs and see who's going to come up the next inning. Now, Garcia ready. Throws to Wilhelm, who clings on the first pitch and dribbles a foul off to the left of the plate, beating it down into the ground. That's strike one. 7 runs, 9 hits for the Giants. For the Indians, 4 runs, 5 hits. 7-4. That was that. Garcia overhands the pitch. Fastball fired through at the knees to Wilhelm for a strike. That's the second one. Count is 0-2.
Thank you. Garcia checks his runner back at second. Delivers the plate. Pitch a swing on by Wilhelm and misses. That's his fastball. So Wilhelm goes down, striking out for Garcia. And that's the second out here in the inning. Garcia has walked a man, struck a man out. Batter coming up is Whitey Lockman, hitting left-handed. Starting the fifth batting around for New York. Whitey hasn't hit a ball out of the infield today. Was called out on strikes in the first inning, tapped back to Wirtz in the third, and was thrown out to the pitcher covering. It was the reverse when he came up in the fourth inning. He hit a smash back to the mound and was thrown out by the pitcher, and then in the sixth inning, rolled to Victor Wirtz for the first out of the sixth. Whitey choking up on the bat handle, steps in. Garcia checks Williams back at second. Big barrel-chested right-hander delivers. There's a curve inside and low, right into the dirt. Higgins comes up with it nicely. That's ball one. The most sacrifice hits in the game held by Joe Tinker of Chicago of the National League in 1906. And Wes Westrum is credited with three here this afternoon, two sacrifice flies to right and a sacrifice. So I imagine that will tie that record. The pitch to Whitey Lockman is over but low, and his count is two balls, no strikes. Of course, you know the sacrifice fly just came back into existence. And it has to be figured along, I would imagine, with the tabulation of a sacrifice. So Westrum has three. That will tie Tinker. Overhand pitch is swung on by Lockman and hit foul. Off to the left of the plate. Up into the second tier. Out of play. Somebody fumbled that one. It drops back down the lower deck. Strike count on Lockman. Two down. Davey Williams still at second. In comes the pitch. Lockman takes it low, and that's ball three. Three and one. Williams driving away from second now, waiting for Garcia to wheel that next pitch up to Lockman. Garcia settles. Looks at his runner, then delivers the plate, an overhand curve. Lockman swings on it, hits a high fly ball to deep right field. Wally Westlake back on the sun to track under it, makes the catch to retire the side. Well, that's all here in the eighth inning for the Giants. No runs, no hits. There were no Cleveland errors. One man, the sixth man to be left on to the Giants, and going about eight times. So the score at the end, out seven and one half innings of play. It's New York seven and Cleveland four. Only one way to get crisp, invigorating shaves that look fresh and feel that way, too, is with shaving cream and a Gillette razor. Now, that's why 9 million Gillette razors were bought last year in these United States alone. Just think of it. That means one for every six men who shave. Enough for the million or more young men who begin shaving each year, plus the men who discard other razors that don't give the comfort and convenience of the modern Gillette Super Speed. To pick you up and make you look on top, you can't match Gillette Shave. Buy a one-piece Gillette Super Speed razor that shaves so easily, changes blades so quickly, and cleans simply by rinsing. Complete with blue blade dispenser and styrene travel case, it's $1. And hold everything. With it, you'll get the new Gillette World Series record book free. Just six more outs remaining to do something about a three-run deficit. And as we told you, the last half of the eighth inning will find Bobby Avila, Larry Doby, and Al Rosen coming up in that order. But Wilhelm has his work cut out for him. He's to hold this one. And a round of applause for Bobby Avila as he steps up to the plate. The folks here at Cleveland trying to get something started and cooked up. Wilhelm, the knuckleballer, delivers, and there is that knuckler. It's high inside to Avila for ball one. Delivers again. Avila takes. There's the fastball. Fired across at the waist for a called strike. Got a wind kicking up now from behind left center field, blowing right across the diamond out behind first. So to poke it into that breeze, you're going to have to hit a ball pretty stiffly. Bobby Avila, 0 for 3 this afternoon. Wilhelm delivers. There's the knuckler. Avila runs up, bluffs the bunt, takes the pitch and it's crossing. It's in there anyway. Strike two. One ball, two strikes on Avila. He'll be on deck to follow. had Grissom down in the bullpen, along with Johnny Antonelli, throwing for the Giants in case Wilhelm should have trouble. Bright pitches, 1-2. Curveball, a swing on, and miss and gets away from Wes Westrum. He comes back to the screen, picks up, and throws to first base, but Avila is there. There's a case of swinging on a wild one on the third strike. And, of course, it's going to be charged to the pitcher. An error will be charged to the pitcher for throwing that one wild. Changes his mind. One ball and one strike to count on Iadobe. One ball, one strike count on Dobby. Wilhelm in trouble by his own making. Delivers a knuckle. Dobby takes it low into the dirt. That's ball two. Two balls and one strike. Have seen here this afternoon their 7-0 lead dwindle down now to a 3-run lead at 7-4. Wilhelm on here in trouble in the 8th inning. Avila at first. Dobie is on deck here on at the plate. Takes the pitch outside. It's ball three. Three balls, one strike on Dobie. Now the bullpen. It's Grissom and Johnny Antonelli throwing hard. Getting ready for the Giants. Thing about it, these Indians haven't given up here this afternoon. They're battling. Wilhelm ready for the 3-1 pitch. And it rides. Fastball swing and a miss. Ball strike two. So instead of his knuckler, Wilhelm came in with his fastball. 3-2 is the count on Dobie. Away from first base. Will he be running 3-2? He does not. Pitch a swing on. There's a high foul ball off the third baseline. Thompson's not going to get this one. It's over behind the dugout, out of play. They're playing it safely down there at first base. Now for the next 3-2 pitch on Larry Dobie, the center fielder. Avila steps off first. Dobie waits. Wilhelm delivers. There goes another pitch. A swing. Look out, Thomas. Well, there's one to rip right through the broadcasting booth. Didn't hit you, did it, Jimmy? How about you? Scared you all right? Okay, Thomas? I thought sure it hit somebody. Ripped right through the broadcasting booth. Almost hit our statistician, Frank Zuzulo, in the face. 3-2 pitch now. Coming up. Larry Dobie. Wilhelm ready, checks his runner, throws over first base to keep Avila close. Bobby was running on that last 3-2 delivery. So was the crew up here in the broadcasting booth running. The pitch, go to breaks, pitch swing on, there's a line drive deep in the center field. Willie Mays back is under it, makes his throw all the way to first base. And Avila has to hurry back. So Dobie lines out to Willie Mays in center for out number one here in the 8th inning. Still have a base runner. Game moving rather slowly now, just a little under 2.5 hours old. You know, the fastest series game in history was played by the Tigers and the Cubs back in 1908. It lasted just an hour and 25 minutes. For teams' records like this, as well as all the important individual series records, the handiest source I know is, well, is where I got this one. in the Twins World Series record book. How well, how many? Pitch to Flip Rosen. He does. The right hand hitter takes a curve inside under the chin for ball one. Now Rosen, who hasn't cracked a ball out of the infield this afternoon, he's gone 0-3. Runner at first, one out, last half of the eighth. 7-4 in favor of New York. Knuckleball swung on to Rosen, hammered into left center field, it's in after the base hit. Bobby Avila's past second, he's on his way, coming into third. Willie Mays up, the ball throws in. Avila slides, he's safe at third. Rosen has singled. Second is open, one out. Vic Wirtz is scheduled to be the batter, and Leo DeRocher says, let me go out there and talk to my pitcher. Down the bullpen, it's Grissom and Antonelli, both warmed and ready. Should DeRocher need either one of them? And I think he's going to bring in Johnny Antonelli. Yep, there he comes. Johnny Antonelli is going to be called upon as the fireman here this afternoon. So Wilhelm pitched one-third of the seventh inning, pitched one-third of the eighth inning. He's pitched two-thirds of an inning. Coming on will be Johnny Antonelli. Johnny Antonelli has won one ball game in the series. And the young fellow from Massachusetts has been called on again. Antonelli, in winning his ball game for New York, the second game of the series, that was back in the 30th of September, beat the Cleveland Indians 3-1. He gave them eight base hits. They stranded 13 men on that afternoon. Well, Johnny Antonelli comes on in relief. Well, sir, business is picking up in the wigwam. Antonelli comes on, pitch to Wirtz. Take Wilhelm out of the ballgame. Johnny Antonelli relieves him. He's the third pitcher to be used by DeRocher. Throwing a few warm-up pitches down from the mound now. The world number 43. There's quite a lot of difference. Johnny Antonelli's a fastball pitcher. Got a good curve and a good slider. Westerman has been down there catching the knuckleballs of Fort Wilhelm. Well, Jimmy Dudley, you said before this ball game started that we could expect a lot of fireworks. I guess you're absolutely right. Fires away here to Vic Wirtz. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
This is WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
Vic Wirtz standing just outside of batter's box while Antonelli throws his warm-up pitches, gets field to mound. Things have sort of broken loose here for Cleveland in the fifth and the seventh. They scored three times in the fifth, once in the seventh, and a bidding hitter score again in the eighth. Vic Wirtz coming up there. It's a one home run for the Cleveland Indians in the series. The series which will pick up three. Now, with anticipation, the fans here begin the applause for Victor Wirtz. He represents a tying run for Cleveland. Now, Rosen on at first. Bobby Avila at third with one out and second open. Score is 7-4 in favor of the Giants. Indians making it come right down to the wire. Wirtz has eight base hits in this series. He can get his ninth right now. 10 is the record of base hits in a four-game series. Of course, this could go more than four now. Down comes the pitch to Wirtz, fastball off the shoulder inside. One ball, no strikes on Wirtz. Wirtz has three runs batted in. Majeski has three runs batted in. So they're tied in the RBI department. in this series for Cleveland. At Nelly Eddy. Lays back and deals off a fastball. Swung and missed by Woods for a strike. One ball and one strike as Antonelli goes to the fastball. Now we've got John McCall, the left-hander in the bullpen, and Marv Grissom, the right-hander for the Giants. Dennis, first and third for Cleveland here in the last of the eighth. One out. Dick Wirtz up there. This afternoon, he's 2-for-3. Double and a single. Curveball to him is over nicely to waste for a strike. Antonelli took his good old time and poured in the changeup curve. One ball and two strikes. Also, this is going to be one we'll long remember. Well, so which way the cat jumps in this one? We've had some ball games in this series. Really been exciting. And now he sets. Delivers. A big curveball. He swings and misses for strike three. That's the big out. Finally comes on, strikeout Victor Woods. That's the third strikeout against Cleveland. The batter coming up now is Wally Westlake. Western steps out in front of the plate and shouts words of encouragement to Johnny Antonelli. Avello standing at third base, ready to step out now. Wally Loughlin goes back to his fielding depth and allows Al Rosen to take his lead at first. Now he settles down into position, checks his runners. Wheels the pitch into the plate, and Westlake takes it low and outside for ball one. Last half of the eighth inning, Cleveland. Two men on, two down. Score 7-4 in favor of the New York Giants. Two men on, two down. Score 7-4 in favor of the New York Giants. They're trying to sweep this series in four. And Nelly sets, kicks, throws a lot of curveball, slam foul down the third baseline. Westlake's count, one ball and one strike. Westlake, a big right-hand hitter, feet wide, spread apart. Stands about three quarters deep at the plate. Pretty much close up on it. Antonelli asks Westrum for the sign again and gets it. Avila taking a slight lead at third. Now lengthens that lead. Rosen at first. Antonelli pitches fastball. Swung on and hit foul. Third right back into the stand. Down on Westlake is a ball and two strikes. Score 7-4 in favor of the Giants. $78,102 pair of eyes looking on here this afternoon. Waiting to see what Johnny Antonelli's going to do. Waiting to see what Wally Westlake's going to do. Johnny checks his runners, delivers one and two. A curve over for 12 strike three. That had Westlake all tied up. So Westlake is called out on strikes. Up retires the side here in the eighth. No runs. There was one base hit. There was one error. There were two men left on. So the score at the end of eight full innings of play now, it's New York 7 and Cleveland 4.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How are you fixed for play? Do you have plenty? How are you fixed for play? You better check. Please make sure you have enough.
Cause a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough.
How are you fixed for blades? Better look to let the blades we need.
It's to the top of the ninth inning. And the first man up for the Giants will be Alvin Dar. We'll have Mueller and then Mays following in that order. Well, just a minute ago, we were talking with Jimmy Dudley, and we were asking him some questions about what he could expect in the last portion of the ball game. Did he expect fireworks? And what did Jimmy Dudley tell us?
Well, Big Al, I thought you had it there for a while. Those fireworks were in the making, but all of a sudden that Antonelli came on. And you know something? He did today just what he did the other day. Against the Indians, he had two men to stop in the lineup. Those two men were Dobie and Wirtz, the two tough, long-ball-hitting left-handers. And he turned in the trick again today. And yet, as so many people have said all over the world, they're probably still saying it, a ball game is never over until the last man is out. And there's three more outs to go for both teams.
Well, that's right, Jim. And the Giants are sending up now in the ninth inning Alvin Dark, John Buehler, and Willie Mays, and if anyone else is needed, Thompson. Alvin Dark has had 2-for-4 here this afternoon, 2 singles to left field, and he's facing Mike Garcia. Yesterday, he got a single off Mike in the third inning, hit the left center field. He hit 1-for-2 off Mike yesterday. See how he fares today with the big right-hander. Mike, who came on in relief in the ball game, comes down with first pitch, and it's swung on. There is a line drive into center field. Good for a base hit. Oh, Dark is on. This is Alvin Dark's 16th World Series game, as Jimmy Dudley has already told you. By the way, talking about World Series games, a guy we all know pretty well, Joe DiMaggio, appeared in 51 World Series games. That's an all-time record. That even tops the great Babe Ruth by 10 games and Lou Gehrig by 17. Mike Garcia pitching down to Don Mueller, who squares off, punts the ball back to the mound. Garcia has it, clips it over to Bobby Avila, the second baseman covering it first. And Dark has been sacrificed on down. So we have one Giant out here in the ninth inning. They're playing for an insurance run. Mays coming up to the plate. Yes, sir, you can find every player's World Series record in the new Gillette World Series record book. Willie Mays moving in. He has one hit in 3 times, a double. Swings on this pitch and hits a one hopper to Bobby Avila. The play goes over to first base to Vic Wertz as Alvin Dark moves on over to third. So we have the second out here. Hitting number 9. Giants up at bat. Hank Thompson coming up to the plate. Thompson, who has walked a total of 7 times. He's had one base hit, a scratch hit in the 7th inning. Second base. Thompson hitting left-handed. Garcia over his head, pumps, throws the fastball. There's another bounding ball. This one hit down to second. Avila has it on the second hop, throws to first, and the inning is over. So for the Giants, they have Alvin Dark open with a single to center, but he goes to third and gets no farther. No runs, one hit. The Giants had one man left on. That was their 7th left on here this afternoon. And there were no Cleveland errors. So the score at the end of 8 1/2 innings of play. It's New York 7 and Cleveland 4. When the last man is out here in this ball game, Bill Corum, one of the nation's number one sports columnists, will make a mad dive for the press box to get up here to the broadcasting booth. He'll be primed with the expert's view of the game, not only his own, but that of the other top newspaper guys. You'll get a new picture of the game when you hear him. Stay tuned now for Bill Corum, will you? Johnny Antonelli comes out. Just a little note we'd like to pass on to you. The most men left on bases, the record that is, in World Series play for a 4-game series, 64 men left on by both teams. That was the Yankees and the Cubs in 1932. And these two teams here playing in this World Series have already tied that one. The last half of the ninth inning, Sam Dente is going to be the first man up for Cleveland. They have 4 runs on 6 base hits and 2 errors. 4-6-2 for Cleveland. Let's see, they've left 5 men so far. 5 men have been left on. The Giants have stranded 7. First pitch by Johnny Antonelli to Sam Dente. It's a fastball. It's outside for ball 1. 7 runs, 10 hits, 3 errors for New York. 7 left. Next pitch by Antonelli is a lot of fastball. It's high for ball 2, and Dente's count now is 2 balls, no strikes. Last half of the ninth inning. Dente, Hegan, and probably a pinch batter for Garcia. In comes a pitch to Dente. Antonelli's fastball is good at the knees for a strike. Tries again, and Dente strides into a let up fastball. Makes it high for ball 3. 3 balls, 1 strike. Northwestern takes his sign from the dugout, relays it on out to Antonelli. Gets down, pops the mitt up as a target. Antonelli starts his pumping motion for the 3-1 pitch. Rears back, deals it off. Fastball outside for ball four. So Sam Denny opens the ninth, little walk. Off Antonelli, that's the first base on balls, and strangely enough, only the second. The Indians are picked up here this afternoon. The batter, Jim Hagan. Leo DeRocher calls for time, comes out, wants to talk to his catcher. Not his pitcher, he wants to talk to Wes Westrum. Wes has got the entire series. Ian DeRocher standing in the circle just off to the left of home plate. Bumping their gums together, cooking up a little strategy for Jim Hagan and the Indians. Sam Denny opened the ninth with a walk. Hagan coming up there. Hagan himself walked in the third, was a base runner in the fifth on an error, and singled to left in the seventh. So he's had one for two today. It's 2 for 12 all told in the series. An overhand fastball to Jim is poured right through off the fist. Good for a strike. Two balls, one strike. It's a count on Jim Hagan. Right down to the last three outs for Cleveland. The Sands are really running through the arc last now. An overhand let a pitch is swung on. A puff foul off to the right of the plate. There comes Woody Luckman in. He calls for it, and Westrum falls away and allows Luckman to come all the way down from first to make the catch and foul territory. Of course, Denny holds on at first. That was a little nubber, a little puff foul off to the right of the plate. Westrum would have had a tough time with that one. Woody Luckman had to jump on the ball. Running on through. Well, we're going to have a pitch batter now for Garcia. Dave Philly. Pinch hitter Dave Philly. He's a switcher. Batting here in the ninth inning for Mike Garcia. One out, one on. Score 7-4 in favor of the New York Giants. They have 7 runs on 10 hits, 3 errors. The Indians, 4 runs, 6 hits. They have 2 errors. Giants trying to sweep it in 4. Memory serves me rightly, Mr. Corum told us before this series started to look out for something like this. There's a fastball fired to Philly, hitting right-handed, and he swings on it, doesn't get it. Dave Philly is standing just off the plate, keeps his feet pretty much together. Antonelli, very careful with his delivery, looks at Denny first, delivers a lot-up pitch to the plate. Philly swings and misses for strike two. Dave was going to hit that one clear out into Lake Erie. Sam Denny is not being held on at first base by Whitey Lockman. So the result is that Sam can take a pretty good lead. We'd like to say once again, here we have when we have the opportunity that the umpires that have been assigned here have done a magnificent job in calling the plays in this series. Now the 0-2 delivery, an overhand fastball off the face. A little high for ball one. One ball and two strikes. Now we're set. Antonelli checks his runner, Denny delivers the play, the fastball. Philly swings and misses for strike three. And that's all today. Pinch batting for Garcia. Antonelli, strikeout number two. The fourth man to go down in the Cleveland batting order by strikeouts. Dave Pope, who batted in the seventh inning for Al Smith and stayed on to play in left field in the eighth, maybe lifted Dale Mitchell. Yes, he is. Dale Mitchell was coming on the bat here in the ninth inning. What kind of batting Dale Mitchell comes on to bat for Pope, who batted for Smith in the seventh?
The attendance, as we told you here, 78,102 has boosted the total. We're going to 261,507. That passes the record established in 1927. That record then was 201,705 between Pittsburgh and the New York Yankees back in 1927. Now, Antonelli, the pitch to Dale Mitchell. He swings on the first pitch to Zale and punches a foul right off to the rest of our broadcasting booth, right up over our direct microphone. No balls, one strike on Dale Mitchell. Last half of the ninth inning. One on, two up. So it's come right down to the last out. 1954 World Series drawing rapidly to a conclusion right here at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. Out now, he's set. Brothers, a curve taken by Mitchell over first strike. That's the second one. That was a great big jug handle curve. Mitchell fell away from it and slipped right over. Well, one of the nice guys in business out of Oklahoma City. Standing in. Ready for the 0-2 pitch. Gendy leads away from first. 7-4 score Giants. Patinelli pitches. High on the inside. The count is one ball, two strikes. Mitchell batting for Pope. Patinelli trying to close it out and pick the win up for Little. So if it should end this way, Lemon will be charged with his second loss of the 54 series. Lemon, Newhouser, Narleski, Martin, Garcia have all worked. Tight on curveball is swung on and popped down the third baseline. Hank Thompson comes over and fouls territory, grabs the ball, and the Giants are the world champions of 1954. That's it. It's all over. Johnny Antonelli does it. And there they're mobbing Rex Weston and Johnny Antonelli right now. Well, the final score, the New York Giants, 7 runs, 10 hits, 3 errors. The Cleveland Indians, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 errors. The winning pitcher is Don Little. The losing pitcher is Bob Lemon. Now, in just a moment, Bill Thorne will review the highlights of today's game for you.
Don, that looks so wonderful.
That's Viv. V-I-V. New Viv lipstick by Tony.
Don, that looks so wonderful.
Yes, because Viv is a new kind of lipstick. Never before a lipstick so red. No, never before a lipstick so red. In six vivid red shades, from pink to plum. One shade is redder than a fire engine. Another is redder than a rose. Each new shade is more vivid than red has ever been before because they have a new depth of color.
Viv makes you look so wonderful.
It makes you look and feel so vividly alive.
Viv makes you look so wonderful.
Viv stays on, yet keeps your lips soft, moist, and smooth because Viv is the comfortable, long-lasting lipstick. See what Viv, the really vivid lipstick, can do for you.
Viv makes you look so wonderful.
Viv. New Viv lipstick by Tony.
Well, the Giants did with a first, didn't they? For the first time since the 1914 Miracle Braves against the Athletics, and the second time in World Series baseball history, an National League team has won a World Series in four straight games. There's been a couple of games, the series, where it was 4-0 in a tie, one by the American League and one by the National. No, maybe both by the National, but it doesn't matter. This is the second team ever to sweep four, and that was way back in 1914 when the Braves did it. This is a good ball team, if not a great one in this World Series. Fine pitching. How about that little 23-year-old kid from Massachusetts named Johnny Antonelli, who walked out there in the finish when trouble brewed, and they had to hold that lead that they had built up in the early innings to 1.7-0 and struck out three men in the last two innings. The shooters chasing in the eighth and one in the ninth, and then finally an easy pop-up to Hank Thompson to send the Giants home singing in the sunshine. Now, I may be on you a little bit later, but right now I want to wish to thank our engineers, Jim Regan and Al Rajek, our statistician, Craig Zugulo, and this program was directed and produced under the supervision of Mutual Sports Director Paul Jonas. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the commissioner is prohibited. And now to wind up this World Series broadcast, let's pick up Frankie Fish and some of those victorious Giants in their dressing room.
We're in the Giants clubhouse. The world champions, and before me I have the captain of the Giants, Mr. Alvin Dodd, my choice for the most valuable player prize at the next meeting. Alvin, congratulations. You did a wonderful job all year. What about this ball club?
Oh, it's been great all year. Everyone in the ball club has done a wonderful job, Mike. I'm just proud of everything.
Oh, you did a wonderful job. Alvin, what are you going to do this winter?
I'm going to work for Mega Ball Merch Company out of Houston, Texas.
Great. Congratulations. Get my best to your family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here now, that's up to Leo. Leo, DeRosa. And, oh, this cab did a tremendous job. And, it's marvelous to have the way these guys played. It was terrific. Hey, Monty Urban, come on over here. Monty, come on up here.
Hey, what'd you hit, Monty?
What'd you hit those balls you hit today?
I hit a fast ball with
curveball.
Fastball?
Yeah.
You came through in the
clutch
today.
Yeah, you did a good job, too. Really sound good.
God,
I'm real happy right now.
Now I'm going to get Mr. Horace Stoneham over here. Commissioner,
won't you come up here, please? Hey, we've got a little commotion here. Sam, the commissioner of baseball, Mr.
Frank, thank you very much.
What a terrific series, Frank. It really was a marvelous series. The Giants play a beautiful ball. Cleveland, I know, is kind of downhearted. I do feel that club probably is a much better club than they showed out there. But it was a terrific series.
It was an interesting series.
Yeah, really.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Ford. Thank you. Now I'd like to have Mr. Warren Charles, the president of the National League. Warren, you
this is terrific. This is great. What great for a great league.
What did you think of your ball club?
Wonderful. I knew they were in all the way, but I wasn't sure about four, but I think it's great.
Mr. Giles, didn't you think this was sort of an underrated ball club all year long?
It has been all along. They've been chugging along. They've had a lot of guts. They've been a solid ball club that made very few mistakes.
Thank you.
That's
Mr.
it.
President.
Good to see you,
Frank. Hey, Leo, come on up here. Here's a fella did a terrific job. Hey, Leo. Boy, we have a lot of fun in this clubhouse. And before I have Leo say two words, I want to say a few words to Leo. You did a tremendous job, pal, and you worked hard all year. You were a great leader with a fine ball. Congratulations.
Well, Frank,
you should feel mighty happy.
I certainly am, Frank, and I've always dreamed and had an ambition to be on the same club that won a world championship, to be part of it. And I really am deeply grateful to the New York players. And I'm sure Mr. Stoneham and all the New York fans are too, Frank. They were wonderful all year. And it was a great series. Everything we did seemed to be right. And everything that the Cleveland club seemed to be wrong and go against them. I will say that my pitchers hit great. And the players were great. And I'm very thankful to the New York ball club.
Finally, hey, let me get a little Chris up here. Leo, can I get Chris up here?
Get your son up here, Leo. Come on, Johnny.
How did you think your daddy did?
Hey, Barry,
that a boy.
He said fine, Leo. I'm going to get Horace if I can. Get away. I got to get Mr. Horace Stoneham here.
Great, folks. We're going to have a great time here in the clubhouse. And thanks. And I hope you fans have enjoyed hearing from these very happy New York guys. The series is over, but the cavalcade of sports carries on every Friday night. Gillette airs the major boxing bout of the week. Thank you, folks. Time to tune in and enjoy the fun. This is the Old Flash saying smooth sailing, smooth skating, and good afternoon from your host, the Gillette Safety Razor Company.
Be sure to stay tuned for the All-State Roundup with Bill Stern, Marty Marion, and Pete Abbott, which follows in a few moments. Then, 15 minutes from now, you'll hear the Camel football lineup and Mutual broadcast of the Gridiron Game of the Week, Purdue versus Notre Dame. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America. WGN, the Chicago Tribune Station. You know, the Giants and the Indians are terrific teams, but another all-star lineup that'll give you a thrill is Coal Finder's lineup of brand new Mercurys for immediate delivery. Tonight, you can own a new Coal Finder Mercury for no money down and save a small fortune, too. No money down gives you 5 minutes delivery tonight. And if you have a car to trade, Coal Finder will pay you spot cash for it. Coal Finder is the only place in town to get you a brand new Mercury for no money down. And here's another money-saving exclusive at Coal Finder, free financing. Choose any new Coal Finder Mercury tonight. Make the regular down payment and get free financing. Imagine your savings with no interest rates or carrying charges. Only Chicago's biggest and busiest Mercury dealer could do it. Remember, no money down, free financing are offered to you only by Coal Finder, 2700 North Cicero Avenue, near the Versus. Coal Finder is open tonight and every night until midnight.
baseball fans everywhere. This is Bob Elston again, sitting in for Bill Stern. Well, it's all over for the shouting, and the Giants are new World Baseball Champions. It's been a thrilling series, one that baseball will be talking about for a long time to come. And right now, we're going to get the professional opinions of managers Bertie Tepet of the Cincinnati Redlegs and Marty Marion of the Chicago White Sox on how this year's World Series looks through the eyes of a big league manager. Your host, as always, is your friend and neighbor, your Allstate insurance company agent. I'll have more to say about him later when I tell you why he's one of the nation's most successful insurance men and a mighty good man to know and do business with, and why Bill Stern always says you're in good hands with your Allstate insurance company agent. But right now, let's join Bertie and Marty for a final review of the 1954 World Series as these two big league managers saw it. First, we want to send our good wishes and congratulations to Manager DeRosa and the New York Giants. And we've heard the jubilation in the Giants clubhouse. Bertie, I'm wondering, and perhaps the fans are too, what the feeling must be like in the clubhouse of a loser that has just lost the World Series in four straight games.
Well, I went through that in 1940. We didn't lose in four straight games, but it's just a feeling of loneliness and frustration and the feeling that you'll do it next year. It's just something that's indescribable. It's a great letdown because the World Series is a great thrill.
Marty, have you expressed that? Have you been on the losing team in the World Series?
Yes, Bob, one time back in 1943 when the Yankees beat us. That was the only time. But it's just like Bertie says, the great letdown. Everybody's shaking hands with their friends, says, hello, boys, and goodbye this day, and I'll see you next spring. That's about it.
Well, that's one thing about baseball and sports. It's part of the game. There has to be a winner, and there has to be a loser. And to be a gracious loser is just as important as winning, as long as you're going to have to lose. Now, the Giants really won this series, and they won it emphatically. Bertie, what did you think of the game today?
Well, I thought it was quite a ball game from the point of view of excitement, and as I have said all the way along the line, Giants pitching staff will grind it out. They've got the starters. If they don't have the starters, they have the relievers. They still had Grissom left in that bullpen, Bob.
A real good ball, and of course, Antonelli coming in the eighth and the ninth, and he got him out of there when it looked like they might be able to break through.
He did a great job. He just did the kind of a job he's been doing all year.
Well, today, the score fell in nothing, Cleveland coming back and trying to make a difference. The game is certainly a little excitement to the series. Cleveland throughout the series just didn't have very tough. The Giants had a great series throughout. The pitching, their defense was great. Their hitting, their running, everything was great. The Giants had a great ball club and deserved the win.
What about the pitching of the New York Giants against the Cleveland ball club in the entire series? They had something that I think stood out. Effectiveness of their right-hand pitchers against the Cleveland left-hand hitters.
Well, it was the story of one man in the Cleveland ball club, Vic Lips, doing all hitting, and we know in the National League that Gomez with the screwball and Antonelli and Little can take care of the left-handed hitters, and I think that the failure of the right-handed hitters on the Cleveland ball club to get hot was the difference between the series. The Giant pitchers can handle left-handed hitters to a foot.
Marty, of course, everyone knows that it's easy to pick out heroes on a team that is just four straight World Series ball games. You can almost go down the Giant lineup because it certainly is obvious this was a real team victory. But what about the Cleveland ball club? You and I saw them a lot this year. We thought they were a great club, and I think you'll still go with that.
Yes, they are a great club, Bob. Any club that won 111 balls this record would be a good ball club. Sure, they had a bad World Series. The Lurch was about the only outstanding thing I saw throughout the series. He was great. Other than that, a good season they had, they were certainly just outstanding in the series.
Let's go back to the first game. The Giants won it, 5 runs, 9 hits, 2 errors. Grissom won that game. And Cleveland had 2 runs, 8 hits, and no errors. Let's quickly touch off the features of that first game. Bertie, you recall the first game?
I think that the only thing that we can talk about in that first game is Rhodes' base hit and pinch hitting. Of course, Mays getting on base and so forth is a great thing, but Rhodes, to me, was the story of the first game.
What about you, Marty?
Yeah, that's my feeling exactly.
The second game, New York won it 3-1 on 3 runs, 4 hits, and no errors. Cleveland won on 8 hits and 4 errors. The winner, Antonelli, and the loser wins. Marty, what about the second game?
Well, the first game was dominated by Antonelli and great pitching. And the pitching again of Mr. Rhodes.
The third game, it was New York, 6 runs, 10 hits, and 1 error. Cleveland, 2 runs, 4 hits, and 2 errors. And this made a certain... They're very happy. Vernon Gomez, because he said, Lee Gomez, who's never lost the World Series game, and Ruben Gomez was the winner. Bernie, what stood out in your opinion in the third game?
Well, Gomez did a great job, but Rhodes came in the ball game and got a piece. A base hit with the bases loaded, and Wilhelm came in and did a great job. But I think the play that I'll remember in that ball game is Alvin Duck getting hung up and allowing his runners to advance into the position to get score.
Well, that was, but he was caught there between first and the plate. That really took some thinking. Duck was really a standout player in the whole series, Ferdy. You see a lot from the league over the National League, and you did that, and we're in the American League. But I've heard so much about him. Certainly,
what
he's touted to be. A really great ball player.
Interesting about that. As a matter of fact, he started at 2 alleys today. He's a real fine team ball player, and the New York Giants, as you have said earlier in these programs, are a great bunch of professional baseball players.
Back to the final game in just a moment. Now, as we all know, it's time to discuss a World Series or anything else. But to come up with the right answers beforehand really calls for an expert. And believe me, there's one man you can always count on for the right auto insurance answers. He's the Allstate Insurance Company agent in your neighborhood. You know, when you recommend any product or service to your friends, you like to make sure they'll be getting quality and service. That's why I always tell my friends, take their auto insurance problems to the Allstate Insurance Company. No, but the Allstate agent in your neighborhood. Sound advice to me, because you have the insurance plan, you've been licensed by your state after long study and examination. He knows your problems and the kind of protection you need for your family, because he's a family man himself, working actively in your community, working traffic safety, best schools, and recreation programs for your children. He carries this same sincere, conscientious attitude, finding the very best auto insurance program for you, and then backs it up with fast, dependable personal service. Now, that's why Bill Stern and over 2.5 million policyholders you're in good hands with your Allstate Insurance Company agent. And here's more good news. In many cases, your Allstate agent can provide complete fire insurance coverage for your home and a saving of up to 20% compared to most common companies. Contact an Allstate agent now. You'll find Allstate offices in most Sears stores, in district service offices, and other convenient locations. You'll also find your Allstate agent listed in the Yellow Pages of your telephone directory. Let's get back to the final game today. The total, the Giants, 7 runs, 10 hits, committed 3 errors. Cleveland, 4 runs, 6 hits, and 2 errors. The winner, Little, and the loser, Lemon. Now, Marty, today, Lopez came back with Lemon after 2 days of rest, and he took quite a gamble. If you think he had it, if he puts it over again, knowing Lemon's ability, do you think he would still start Lemon?
Yes, I'm sure he would, Bob. Lopez knows more about his pitches than anybody in the world. And he knows just what he's pitching to. And after all, Lemon's the best pitch he has. And when you have your back to the ball, you come back with your breath. And that's just what he did. At one point, Lemon just didn't have it today. But don't forget, first, the New York Giants are up. They're really up. By everybody.
How do you feel about that, Bertie?
Well, in 1951 and 52, I was a catcher on that ball club. And Lopez didn't have the depth in pitching that he had this year. And he pitched Lemon Garcia and Wynn many times with 2 days rest. And to prove that they could do the job the last part of the season, I believe we won around 21 out of our last 26 games on that 2 days. Rest rotation, and the reason he didn't catch the Giants is because they had the same kind of a record. So Lopez knew that Lemon could do it, and he just was picking his best man because he had to win.
What about just a comment on next year's pennant race? Money, what effect do you feel that this loss will have on Cleveland? And what about the chances of your team, the White Sox, in the race in 55?
Being beaten the World Series fourth grade ball game certainly will take a little start down the Cleveland club at this particular time. But by the time the next year rolls around, The Cleveland Club, maybe we'll forget all about this. And Fulton will be out there trying to win the flag next year. But I can say this to the White Sox crowd, we are too. I think that with the help of a little bit of things that we're working on right now, the White Sox may be battling this World Series next year.
And, Bernie, what about the Cincinnati Reds? That was a team that gave everybody a lot of headaches this year. What effect do you think that the team 4-3 will have on DeRosa and the Giants? Will they go into the next campaign, let's say, overconfident? Or do you anticipate the same kind of a real tough, rough and tough race as you had in the National League this year?
Bob, there isn't any club in our league that's going to be overconfident. We've got picked up a league in any one of the first seven ball clubs that finished among the first seven this year are liable to win that National League pennant. Nobody's going to get too fresh in our league.
What are your plans now, Ferdy?
I'm going to take my wife, and we're going away for 10 days vacation trip, and then I'm going back to work.
What are your plans, Marty?
Well, Bob, I'm going out to Oregon on a fishing trip for about 2 weeks, and then back to South Dakota for a little pheasant hunting, and back home and work.
Would you like to just say a word, Bertie, about this? It's almost hard to pick out one or two players, because I think we're convinced that this four-game win for the New York Giants was a team victory. Was there any three or four of the players with it you would like to just comment on in closing?
Well, I think Dusty Rhodes did a fabulous job, and I think that what we maybe were overlooking is the fact that Louis DeRosa took Dusty Rhodes for the spot that he needed him the most. As a matter of fact, he didn't use Rhodes today, which I found was a very fine managerial position to place himself in, because if this game ever did get tied up, he always had Rhodes for that hot spot.
What about Cleveland, then, just in closing, Marty? Back the only you're foiled to them.
Yes, I was, but I thought they could win. Bob, about the only bright spot that Cleveland had throughout the entire series was Rick Lurch at first base. He did a terrific job, especially with his big bat. I'm sure that Lopez did the best that he could. The Bill did the best that he could.
Well, thank you both very, very much. And friends, that's it. A new baseball champion has been born. So it's all hail to the New York and Rio DeRosa, the new kings of the baseball world. Now, friends, that's the last of the World Series Roundup. And speaking for Bertie Pettit, Marty Payne, Bill Stern, and myself, you know we were just a real kick out of bringing this session to you. We hope we've made this year's World Series a bit more enjoyable for you. Now, many thanks to our hosts, to over 2,000 all-state insurance companies throughout the United States and Canada. Once again, I want to recommend that before you buy or renew auto insurance, you see the all-state insurance company agents in the neighborhood. These are mighty good men, you know, and good businesses. I also give you the helpful personal round-the-clock auto insurance service that you want. Please see it. Real privilege for me to tell you about this outstanding service man and community leader. I'm very glad to join my good friend Bill Stern and the over 2.5 million policyholders who say you are in tune with your all-state insurance company agent. My name is Bob Elton. It's been a real pleasure for Bill Stern on today's All-State Show.
This is Chris Hill, the radio network.